Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome back into the Pigskin Picks on a Thursday night on 93.5 WAX. Some fellas, we are moving right along here in the high school football season. Somehow, some way, we've made it to the second round of the VHSL high school football playoffs. Third round in Tennessee and Kentucky. We're to the penultimate week of the regular season in college football. The season has absolutely flown by. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Helner with you on a Thursday night as always here on 93.5 WAXM. We have a ton of coaches' interviews to get to tonight. Region 1 to Region 2 to your coaches are sprinkled all over the place tonight in those matchups here on this show. Looking forward to those conversations. Also, we're going back to the WCYB well, folks. Let me tell you something. Their sports department, they got some depth from Casey Getz to our 2021 champion, Heather Williams, Andy McClung, James Colley.
Yes.
Cole Johnson last week. Hey, not too bad of a picker.
Untouchable.
Huh? Not too bad of a picker. And Lauren Bradford, our guest picker this week, the Clemson Tiger, going to be with us later on in the show. Looking forward to that one there from Lauren. First time guest picker there for us with Lauren. Had a first timer last week as well. I think there are only two first timers this year, right? Am I right on that? We are only two rookies. We had a few rookies last year. There's only two this year.
I mean, Tanner Cook performed like a rookie.
Yeah, but Tanner's an old. Yeah. I'm sorry, Tanner. It's sad but true. It's sad but true, Cookie. I'm sorry. But Zach Helton, how are you, sir?
Boys, if I do any better, it'd be illegal.
Woo, buddy, I tell you what, you don't want to be illegal at this time, but you're right there in the holiday season. You want to be with your friends and families, unless maybe your friends and families are also doing the illegal things. Corey, how are you, sir?
Doing good.
Doing well?
Doing well.
Very good, very good. Mr. Scott County, going to stick right over there in Scott
well,
County.
Watch it, Killer.
We were at Eastside and Rye Cove last Friday night. We were at Virginia High and Union on Saturday over on WLSD. How about we do it all over again this week? Rye Cove on WXM on Saturday, 1 o'clock, the host Twin Springs. Corey! We'll be on the call there from the Eagles Nest in Clinchport. Mr. Scott County will do the Scott County Super
Don't
Bowl.
Don't expect stats, boys and girls.
It's a shame. WLSD, Tazewell, Union, expect stats. Bulldogs, Bears, pregame 145, kickoff at 2. There at Bullet Park in Big Stone Gap. I'll be there for that one there in Region 2D over on WLSD Saturday afternoon. So splitting it up there on our stations this week. Looking forward to these ones. It should be a fun week here in high school football. But let's go back to last week, guys. And let's start off in Region 1D. Let's do that game we had there on Friday night, Corey. Rye Cove had a comeback and beat Eastside 15-6. Boy, it wasn't easy for the Eagles.
Ooh.
They get the win, though. First playoff win, and what was it? 7,664 days. Gary Collier told me he had no idea. Guess what? We did, but no longer does that stat matter. Toss it away, throw it in the trash. Doesn't matter anymore. They got themselves a playoff win. They've got a second home playoff
win. Yeah, soar, Eagles soar. That's what they did. You know, Eastside kind of came out there. They had a hope and a prayer to Luke Trent at halftime. Made it 6-0. They didn't convert on the extra point there and took it into the locker room. And then really, what was it, like 9 minutes and some seconds left in the fourth quarter? That's when the scoring got going. And, Jacob, you and I kind of talked about it, too. We knew the tide was going to turn after the bad snap on the punt, kind of got the punter to go in there, kind of reach for it, went past him, and it went up, went down 6-2. DeRocco came back. They had some kickoff issues, mm-hmm. did Eastside on there, that put them all the way back to their 10, 15?
After the touchback, after the safety at the 29-yard line.
Yeah. So it was, and then from there, they take it in. They score a touchdown there, and that's really all she wrote in that respect. So they went up 9-6 from there, and then they added on a touchdown late again. So the War Eagles, and that was raucous. It was a raucous environment. Good condition of field, and they look good, and we'll see what they're going to do this week against Twin Springs as it's Scott County Bowl number 2.
Yeah, only second time they've ever played each other in the playoffs. 1988 was the only other time Rye Cove won that game.
Was 28-25. Was that Zach's senior year of high school?
Oh, that's rude. That's just rude. That's an uncalled for, Zach. But Rye Cove gets the win, buddy.
Yeah, 88 was a good year, boys. I don't know know if you guys were around, but it was.
I was minus nine.
Yeah, Rykov. I love this story. If this was happening, like, you know, in a bigger area, this thing would be on ESPN. Teams shut down their program, and a short time later, they're battling, in the playoffs. They've got home games in the playoffs. I think very similar to a game we're going to talk about in a minute. I think this close game has put Rykov on notice, and I think that's kind of a little bit of a refocus for them with that tight game. Anytime you go against someone for the second time, it's going to be an interesting matchup like this one coming up. But Eastside, I'm telling you, we've been talking about them all year. We're pro Cumberland on this show. Their year, I think their next year is going to be their year.
Yeah, I think so. And I tell you what, let's not forget Rykov. Still got Landon Lane coming back next year. They got a couple seniors around out there, but they're still going to be a strong team next year as well. Let's not act like Rykov's done quite yet there for Gary Collier's squad and that coaching staff there at Rykov. So there should be another fun year for them next year. But, hey, they're not done with this one quite yet. They'll get Twin Springs on Saturday there at the Eagles Nest, 1 o'clock kickoff in Scott County. Twin Springs beats Chilhowee 28-21, the 3-6 matchup in overtime. Zach, you said you had an eye on this one on Saturday when we talked earlier. Titans pulled out, but it wasn't easy against the Warriors.
No, Chilhowee made things interesting. Chilhowee's a fun ball club to watch. They throw it around. They battle. They're going to make the Hogo a little interesting next year with Honaker losing a few players. But Twin Springs at home, you got to grind it out, get it done, and that's what they did Saturday.
Yeah, and they are able to pull out the win as Twin Springs gets another playoff win there under Keith Warner, I should say. And as I was telling you guys earlier on before we started recording, Twin Springs finally playing a road playoff game under Keith Warner. You know, I don't think they played a home playoff game until like their seventh career playoff game in their program's history. Now they've been on the stretch of a lot of home games. Finally heading on the road, but it's going to be a short trip over to Rykov Saturday afternoon. Honaker survives Royal Retreat 30-15. We all had the Tigers. It was Patrick Henry rolling over Grundy and getting revenge on the Golden Wave 49-8. We all had the Rebels. Region 2D, Union over Virginia High 34-6. We all had the Bears. I had that game on Saturday afternoon. Not a ton to get into there. Virginia High, I thought, did a good job of containing Union from getting big plays, which kept the score low enough, but still they win by 28. It's all sort of relative in that way there for the Bears. Tazewell rolls over Ridgeview. Ridgeview didn't have Ryan O'Quinn. They didn't have much of a chance without him. Tazewell gets their first playoff win in 15 years there for the Bulldogs. Congratulations there to Tazewell. Graham over Lehigh, 56-14, as the G-men keep rolling right along there over Lehigh. We didn't pick this game because it was a Thursday night special, but Gate City beat Marion 28-14. You saw that one,
Corey? Yeah, I saw that live, and it was a very ugly game. But
Marion likes to run the ball.
Yeah, it was ugly.
They like to run it, and then you know what they want to do after they run it? They want to run it again.
Late, yeah, they did have to throw a little bit. So.
Yeah. They don't like that. They don't like that at all. Patrick Henry doesn't like that either. So we'll see. You know, we're going to talk about both of those coaches coming up later on in the show. If the weather could maybe still play a chance on Saturday, I think Patrick Henry would love that. And if they are able to keep the ball in their hands there for a while, that keeps them in a ball game, because I'm not sure they're going to be able to stop Honaker. But what you can do is maybe keep the ball away from them. Christiansburg beat Abbott in 29-3. We all had Christiansburg. Corey, Cole, and myself, 8 out of 8 last week. Zach was 7 out of 8. He was the only one to pick Ridgeview against Tazewell. Standings in Virginia, Corey 91, myself 90, Zach 89. In Tennessee, Anderson County knocked off Elizabeth in 21-7. We all had Betsy. Greenville defeats Gibbs 42-0. We all had Greenville. And it was Hampton over Bledsoe County 36-31. Cole was the only one on Bledsoe County. Myself, Corey, Zach 2 out of 3. Cole was 1 out of 3. Standings in Tennessee, myself 56, Corey 47, Zach 46. Games last week in Kentucky in the second round of the playoffs. Bell County defeated Belford 24-22. I was the only one on the Bobcats. Class 1A, Middlesboro blows out Paintsville 40-14. We all had Middlesboro. Pikeville shuts out Williamsburg 42-0. We all had Pikeville. And it was Shelby Valley blowing out Floyd Central 51-6 in Class 2A, as we all had Shelby Valley. I was the perfect 4 for 4. Corey and Zach 3 out of 4. Standings in Kentucky, myself 48, Corey 44, Zach 43. High school last week, I was 14 out of 15. Corey, 13 out of 15. Zach, 12 out of 15. Standings in high school, I'm at 195, Zach 180, Corey 179. Let's pick some games in Kentucky here, fellas, before we move on to the show. Let's start off in Class 2, Corey. Shelby Valley is at 9-3. They travel to 9-3 Somerset. Who do you like here in the third round?
Ooh, that's a long haul for Shelby Valley. Give me the other time zone in Somerset.
That would be Somerset for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, El Nino, as we've been told, is rushing through. So I'm going to go Somerset. I hope the winter feels like summer this year.
There you go. I'll go Somerset at home as well. Class 3, East Carter travels to 11-1 Bell County, Zach.
Yeah, just write down not Bell County.
That would be EC this week.
Corey, I got principles.
Yeah, I know you do. I respect the way you stand up, man. I respect the way you stand up.
That's all I got.
Yep. Corey, how's your principles?
I have no weighing in this one, but give me Bell County.
I like Bell County at home as well. Class 1, boy, I love Larry French in Middlesboro. Boy, do I love Larry French in Middlesboro. But do they have enough to go on the road and beat Pikeville, Corey? They're both 9-2. Who wins?
I don't think they have enough. Give me Pike Vegas.
Pikeville for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, Pike Vegas, baby. Let's go.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to go Larry French in Middlesboro. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
You can do it.
I can't.
You should refuse to do it.
I refuse. I can't.
Have you ever been to Hillbilly Days?
No.
You don't know how Pike Vegas gets down.
They have a Domino, so I know they probably get down pretty.
They get down.
I love Domino's.
They got Domino's and a Little Caesars.
No.
That doesn't really tickle my
Listen, I work in radio. Little Caesars is luxurious to me.
Jesus.
Come on,
I might have to respond to that. I'm going to go Middlesboro on the road just because I like Larry French. Sometimes life is just that simple. Give me the Yellow Jackets on the road to pull off the upset over Pikeville. Try to keep their season rolling right along. We talked to the Region 1D playoff coaches coming up next, followed by Region 2D as we continue. Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Healthkeepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Sunshine, go away today. I don't feel much like day.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Towns today, Richard, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton rejoin us coming up in a few segments. Going to dive deep into these region semifinal matchups, though. And then this segment, we're going to look deeper into the Region 1D semifinal matchups, I should say. Both of these on Saturday at 1 o'clock. As we'll have Honeaker hosting Patrick Henry, I beg your pardon. And then Twin Springs traveling to Rye Cove. That's the game we'll have at 93.5 WAXM at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Corey Sanchez on the call there from the Eagles Nest in Clinchport. But we're going to dive first into the conversations leading up to the matchup between Patrick Henry and Honeaker. I talked to both head coaches of this matchup earlier this week. Seth Patrick, the head coach of the Patrick Henry Rebels, all they do is keep winning games and keep winning games in the playoffs. They played in the Region 1D title game the last couple of years. They'd love to knock down that door and win a regional title. It's going to be tough, though. They just get it back to the region championship game because they got to go to the number one seed Honeaker Tigers this Saturday, a team they already lost to earlier this year, 26-18, back on October 20th. Now, they know what Honeaker can be with that high-flying offense. Can they control the ball? That's what the goal is going to be for Patrick Henry coming off the 49-8 win over Grundy in the first round last week. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Patrick Henry Rebels, Seth Padgett. What was the biggest difference for your team last week against Grundy?
You know, I think we finished drives. You know, I think our line play was so good. And Cam, you know, ran for 230 yards. And, you know, I just think it was a total team win. I think our defense probably played the best that it's played probably all year. So
that was a game you all lost earlier on in the year to Grundy, 27-25 back in September. You lost to Grundy last year to end your season of the region title game. How much of that was the motivation going into the game there against the Golden Wave?
Oh, that was huge. You know, we talked all summer, you know, we got to finish, you know, and we didn't do it last year. And then, you know, they beat us at first time. And, you know, and I just told my seniors, I said, you don't want to lose this game, you know, here at, you know, at our stadium. So, you know, I think that was a big key.
Last week in the Region 1D playoffs, it was a lot of close games, a lot of games where the home team was sort of in danger. Not quite the case of you all obviously winning 49-8 there over Grundy. When you go into a game like that in the playoffs where you're able to sort of coast to a win, get some rest for you guys during the second half, how important is that for your team as you're hoping to hopefully make a little bit of a run here with some of the big game against Honeaker this coming week?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think you ever coast. I think you kind of, you know, we had a chance there in that second half to get some guys in and you know, and get some playing time, you know, and I think that's big. You know, we played a lot of freshmen there in that second half and, you know, a lot of sophomores. So, you know, I think that was big for us.
Seth Patrick, head coach of Patrick County Rebels, joining us on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM as they take on Honeaker this week. A Honeaker team you all saw just a few weeks ago, October 20th. If you fell at home to them 26-18. What do you hope your team garnered from that loss to the Tigers that they can take into this one, this Saturday?
Well, they're just so good. And, you know, I think we saw, you know, that we can actually play with them. You know, like I said before, they've got a ton of skill guys. They got guys who can score on every play. They got a great line and they're physical, but we just got to slow the game down. We got to keep getting first downs and we can't give them short fields.
As you know what their offense is able to do week in and week out, you all were one of the teams that sort of held them down earlier on throughout the regular season. I should say they're just 26 points there in your all's matchup against them. You bring up the short fields component there this coming Saturday. How much is it going to come down to your offense being able to control the ball there for most of the game? Cameron Goodspeed obviously having a big game, as you said, 230 yards against Grundy this past week. How much of for your offense is going to come down to them controlling the time of possession of this game to keep their offense off the field?
Well, that's the main key. And, in that first game, I think in the first half, I think we had the ball like 17 minutes to their six. So that's huge. You know, we've got to limit them getting the football because they can score quick on every drive. And we've got to slow the game down. That's the biggest key. And you know, with that is getting first downs and not fumbling.
The last couple of years, you all have made it all the way to the region title game. What is the message to your team, I should say, going into this game Saturday to try to make it back there going into another year where you all made it to the region title game the last 2 years and trying to make it back there again here in 2023?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I said earlier, finish. And, you know, and we've not done that, you know, these last few years. And I think that's something that is really driving these seniors. You know, so just trying to carry on, you know, what we have built here and see if we can finish.
As the head coach of the Patrick Henry Rebels, Seth Padgett on 93.5 WAXM right here on Pigskin Picks. They take on Honeaker Saturday at 1 o'clock, and the head coach of the number one seed Tigers, Todd Taylor, joined me earlier this week to talk about his team, who's now 11-0 as they survive against Royal Retreat back-to-back weeks. Boy, I bet he's happy not to have to see the Indians anymore. They ended the regular season against Royal Retreat winning 40-34. Then last week, they struggled going in the locker room at halftime 15-8, but shut them out in the second half to win the game 30-15 at Honeaker. And now they get to host Patrick Henry
here in the second round. Again, they've already faced them once, winning it 26-18. But they know what a tough team Patrick Henry can be. And if Patrick Henry holds the ball, that's where Honecker could be in trouble if their high-flying offense doesn't quite get enough chances on the field this week. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Tigers, Todd Tiller. I'm sure you're happy about not having to see Royal Retreat on your schedule anymore. You had to face them the last 2 weeks. You faced them the last week of the regular season, won 40-34. This past week in the first round of the playoffs, it was a tough battle against the Indians. You trailed at halftime, but shut them out in the second half to win 30-15. What was it about your team that had to get past Royal Retreat to take this next step into the postseason?
You know, Royal Retreat was not a typical 8 seed, you know, and they were 5-5 on the year, but the teams that they had played in the MED and Galax and Grayson and George Whiff and teams like that, you know, they were close in every game. So they were a tough opponent to begin with. And, you know, they got a lot of physical play out of their kids, and they were well coached, did a great job.
What did you learn about your team the last couple of weeks where knowing you're going to face off against the same team back-to-back weeks, you just had a tough battle against them in the final game of the regular season, then you find out, oh, wait, you're going to face them off again just 7 days later back at home against Royal Retreat. What did you learn about your team over the last 2 weeks?
You know, definitely learned a lot about them, the adversity and being able to, you know, step up after a tough physical game and get ready for another tough physical game and play a little bit of smash-mouth football type. You know, we ran the ball quite a bit Friday night and, you know, learned even more about them. You know, we can rely on the run game, you know, a lot there, and that's what we did. We were a good split there the other night.
Head coach of the Honecker Tigers, Todd Tiller, joining us here on Pigskin Picks with 93.5 WAXM. You're able to get by Royal Retreat, and congratulations to get another team that you had a tough battle against there during the regular season. Just a few weeks ago, on October 20th, you beat Patrick Henry 26-18. Now Seth Padgett's Rebels come into town this Saturday. When you look at them on film, anything different from just a few weeks ago?
No, it's still the same. They're huge up front. You know, they've got the size and physicality and then the good speed, you know, in the backfield. And he can break it at any time. He's so fast. And, you know, they've got some other guys there, the brown kid and deaf kid. And, you know, they do a great job. And, you know, we know it'll be a tough game with them, definitely. And one of those, another, you know, heavyweight fight type.
Certainly so, and when you faced off against them a few weeks ago, it was a battle in the first half. They led there at halftime. You again came back in the second half and won there over Patrick Henry. When you go back at that game there, what is it that your team needs to improve upon out of that game last time to go into this one on Saturday?
You know, looking at that game last time and going through the film and everything and talking to the kids and the coaches and all that, you know, we missed on 3 passes early on that were huge, you know, and don't know, weather probably played a little bit of a factor in that. But, you know, we just got to, you know, take advantage of our opportunities and not make a mental miscues that we had or anything like that and just come out ready to play from the very beginning.
What's going to be the biggest keys for you all on Saturday against the Rebels?
The line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball, without a doubt. That's going to be the biggest key. We can control the line of scrimmage, and, you know, we'll be doing pretty good. If they control the line of scrimmage, it could be a long night for us.
That's head coach of the Honecker Tigers, Todd Tiller, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Against Honecker, hosting Patrick Henry in one of the two Region 1D semifinal games, 1 o'clock at Honecker. That's the 4-1 matchup. In the 3-2 matchup, it's Twin Springs on the road at Rye Cove. This game was scheduled for Friday night. It's now been moved to Saturday. We'll still have it on 93.5 WAXM. And I caught up with the head coach of the Titans, Keith Warner, as they're coming off a playoff win over Chilhowee, but it wasn't easy against the Warriors last week. Had to go into overtime to get the win, 28-21. First time in a while this group's been playing a road playoff game. First time under head coach Keith Warner. This will be the 5th playoff game they've played under head coach Keith Warner, but the first one played away from Titan Stadium in Nicholsville. When they first made the playoffs under him 2 years ago in 2021, they played 2 playoff games, a win over Eastside, a loss to Patrick Henry, both at Twin Springs. Last year, they hosted Lebanon in the first round, losing 51-49, and then obviously they hosted Chilhowee last week. Now they travel to take on their district county rival, Rye Cove, who they just lost to 2 weeks ago at home, 29-14. They look for revenge and look to keep their season going against Rye Cove this time around. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Twin Springs Titans, Keith Warner. What was the biggest difference for you all against Chilhowee, where you're able to pull out the win against a Warrior team that came in there playing good football for Reed Sturgill's squad in his first year there for the Warriors, able to pull out the win though at home in overtime?
You know, hats off to Coach Sturgill. I talked to him pregame. I talked to Coach Robinson pregame. You know, I got nothing but respect for those guys. Oh, my goodness, what a job they're doing up there. They've been playing well. We knew they were going to come in and give us everything we had. So, you know, we took their shots early. You know, we had a lot of turnovers, but, you know, I'm not making excuses. You know, there's a reason we turned the ball over. They put their head on the football. They tackled well. So, you know, I got nothing but respect for those guys. They came in. They were a classy bunch, great kids, great atmosphere. And that was a heck of a playoff game for Region D in Southwest Virginia.
And your team's able to fight through it and make it on to the second round of the playoffs. What did you learn about your team, though, in the first round where you see them able to pick up the playoff win after losing last year in the first round, winning a playoff game 2 years ago, but now getting another one here this year? What did you learn about your team on Saturday?
You know, it's great for our program. You know, Coach Sturgill and I were talking pregame. We were talking about enrollment. I told him we had 184 kids or whatever it was. You know, he was just mind blown. So, you know, for us to get another playoff win for Twin Springs football, my goodness, you know, what another step in the right direction for my kids and our program. But, you know, I didn't learn it just this Saturday, but my kids don't quit. They gutted one out. You know, we had two kids, you know, two starting linemen that didn't even dress. You know, they had nagging injuries. They were going to rest them, but, you know, when it got down to the nitty-gritty in the second quarter, you know, they went in and dressed out, and, you know, they came out with their teammates, and it gave us a boost of morale. You know, when you get – I mean, Chase Darty's lineman of the year last year. Mm-hmm. He doesn't start the game, but when you see a kid like that get out of performance, go in, change, and come back out and say, hey, I got your back, I think that speaks volumes of our kids. And I think, you know, that's what I want our program to be about, is a brotherhood, a family. And that's something that, you know, I've brought since I came here, is Titan family. And I think those two kids, you know, gutting it out Saturday when they could have easily, you know, just stood on the sideline and watched their brothers. But, you know, they chose to go in there and do something about it. And it was just an incredible moment, you know, in Nicholsville when that happened.
And now you get set to take on Rye Cove in a rematch. You just saw this team 2 weeks ago at home, losing 29-14. Now you go to their place Friday night for a playoff game in this Scott County Super Bowl Part 2. Only the second time in the school's history they'll face off against each other in the playoffs. What do you hope your team learned from the loss 2 weeks ago to Rye Cove that they can take into the game Friday night against the Eagles?
You know, again, we got a lot of respect for Rye Cove. You know, they're doing really good things. Hats off to Coach Collier and those kids at Rye Cove. You know, I feel like they controlled the line of scrimmage on us, you know, up here. So, you know, we got to get more physical in the trenches. And then, you know, we got to cut down on the, you know, the mental mistakes and the crazy turnovers. And you can't snap a ball over your head, you know, when you've got momentum down to the 5-yard line. You can't fumble, you know, you can't throw interceptions. So we've really got to cut down on turnovers, and I think the physicality of our line play is going to be a key to our success.
Keith Warner, the head coach of the Twin Springs Titans, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. Titans take on Rye Cove Friday night in the Region 1D playoff second round. We'll be there on 93.5 WXM for the game there on the broadcast Friday night in Clinchport at the Eagles Nest. When you look at this team for Rye Cove, you obviously got to see them up close and personal 2 weeks ago. They're a team that's now 10-1 on the season, coming off the win over Eastside last week, 15-6. And with your team now going on the road compared to playing at home 2 weeks ago, what does that change for you all in sort of a playoff atmosphere of what you expect there in Clinchport Friday night?
You know, I think we saw it last year, you know, when we went down there. So our kids are prepared. You know, they've played in these games, you know, the past couple of years, so they know what to expect. Now, the environment down there last year, week 10, it's going to be similar. You know, it's going to be packed. Both communities are passionate right now, so it's going to be loud. It's definitely going to be a playoff atmosphere. But, you know, I think the atmosphere last year when we were down there, you know, I think it's prepared our kids because it's going to be very similar. It's always fun when these two get together.
You've been around Scott County your entire life, Keith, whether that's growing up there in Nicholsville, going to Twin Springs, now coaching at Twin Springs, coaching at Gate City for a long time as well. You know a good bit about Rye Cove. You've seen him from a distance and up close there in the district with Twin Springs in recent years as well. What does it say about these two schools and two programs that the winner of Friday night is going to get to play for a regional title here? After not too long ago for you all at Twin Springs, when you took over the job, they were in a tough spot there, and obviously Rye Cove, before Gary took over a couple years ago, wasn't even able to finish a season there in 2021 for the Eagles. Now, here in 2023, the winner of Friday night is going to get to play for a regional title next week.
You know, I think it speaks volumes about our kids. You know, it has nothing to do with myself or my coaching staff. You know, it's our kids and our community buying in. I think our kids, you know, they really believe what we're doing, you know, and they're taking it and they're running with it. You know, I'm just fortunate I get to be along for this ride. But, you know, for our kids, you know, to really take monumental steps in building this football program, you know, it started with year one setting goals. It started with off-season workouts. And that's just a testament to my kids, you know, that, you know, and hats off to the kids at Rock Cove. They've bought into what Coach Collier's done, you know, and they're doing things, you know, that they think they need to do, and it's proven, you know, that they're 10-1 right now. So, you know, I can't speak for Rocco, but for myself, you know, it has nothing to do with me. I'm just fortunate to be a part of this school and this community and this program. But, you know, I've got great assistants, Coach Bays and Coach Burke. My goodness, they make me look a heck of a lot better than what I am. But it's special to be a part of it with Twin Springs and in this community. And, you know, it's been like this for a long time. But now that, you know, there's a lot more at stake, there's a lot more on the line, and this is what you want for your kids. This is what I want for the Rock Cove kids. It's what I want for Scott County. So, you know, two communities coming together that are passionate, you know, for the most part after the game, it's very complimentary. Everybody's complimentary of each other. You know, you got some crazies out there that won't let it die after the game. But, you know, for the most part, it's two communities in the county that respect each other and want each other to do well.
Keith Warner, the head coach of the Twin Springs Titans, joins us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 to break some. You brought up the line of scrimmage. You brought up mental mistakes earlier on when we talked about the game last time, 2 weeks ago against Rye Cove. What are the main keys on Friday night to knock off the Eagles and make it to the Region 1D title game?
I think we got to play clean football. You know, I think we got to the physicality up front. You know, our blocking assignments, and then defensively, you know, contain Lane. You know, don't let him break off some big plays, which that's asking a lot. Kid's a heck of a player. You know, love that kid death, him and his family. But, you know, try to contain him. Don't let him break off the big play on you. And then, you know, you got to tackle well. They're every one of them. Him, Rollins. You know, the Darnell kid, they all run the ball. They run the ball hard, so you better be able to tackle really well.
That was head coach of the Twin Springs Titans, Keith Warner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 to Bix. And they travel to Rye Cove Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's a third straight week we've talked to the head coach of the Eagles, Gary Collier. He told me when we started, he said, hopefully we can keep doing this, Jacob. That's what the goal is here, right? If you can keep winning, not only do you get to keep playing, but heck, you get to keep joining the Pigskin Picks. What more can you hope for in life, really? Which is better? It's up in the air. I don't really know. But here's the thing. Rye Cove has kept winning all year long. They're now 10-1, but boy, last week was not easy against Eastside. 15-6 the final score, but they trailed 6-0 going into the fourth quarter. Gary Collier's group was averaging over 40 points a game going into that one against the Spartans. They had 0 points through three quarters. They had 0 points through 36 minutes of football being played there last week. But they finally got it going. Defense, special teams, leading to their offense getting on the board and moving on to the second round with the 15-6 win over the Spartans. First playoff win for Rye Cove in 7,664 days.
They can wipe that stat away. No longer does that matter because they've won in the playoffs and they get to host again. And they host their county rival, Twin Springs, Saturday at 1 o'clock. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Eagles, Gary Collier. What was the feeling like for you all once the clock hit zeros Friday night against Eastside and getting that first playoff win for Rye Cove in 7,664 days?
Wow, I didn't know how many days it had been, but, you know, it had been a while. It was a good feeling, a little bit of relief, because let me tell you, the Eastside come out and was ready to play and popped us in the mouth early, and these kids kept fighting and fighting. So at the end of the day, it was a real good feeling.
Special teams is sort of what turned the game there. You all made Eastside forced to punt inside their own 10-yard line. Then they had a bad snap on the punt that led to the safety. Then on the kickoffs following the safety, they had a couple of poor kicks. You all ended up getting the ball inside their own 30. We talked so much about your offense, about your defense. Special teams ended up coming up big there in the fourth quarter, though, against the Spartans.
Absolutely. We were looking for somebody to make a play and something to just ignite us. The safety was, you know, a big deal, but it wasn't a killer for Eastside. And then, you know, the three out-of-bounds kicks and starting on the 29-yard line really turned the game around.
I was on the air at the time when they kicked the third one out of bounds. And I said, I think Gary's going to beg for them just to finally place the ball and give it to Rye Cove when we stopped doing all these kickoffs. And it's exactly what I ended up getting at the 29-yard line there for Eastside. You brought up the offense there having some issues early on. You brought up the front side of Eastside being able to really control the game there through the first portion of the game, into the third quarter even, really. What have y'all worked on this week to sort of build off that and sort of improve upon that going into the game against Twin Springs?
Well, you know, we bragged of our kids up front and how much, you know, a year in the weight room, how much stronger we'd gotten, and been really the base of our offense all year long. And just, you know, Coach Rose just had them ready to play. They popped us in the mouth early, and be honest with you, just whipped us up front, made some adjustments at halftime. And really, more than technique, we just challenged our kids. You know, we bragged them all year. They're better than they're playing, and let's see what we can do. So a little bit of adjustment, a little bit of momentum there, and then I think that was the difference.
And now you take on a Twin Springs team that's coming off a tough performance for them as well. They had to pull out a win against Chilhowee in overtime on Saturday. When you look at a team like you're playing against Twin Springs, when you just faced off against them 2 weeks ago, how much can change before in that sort of short amount of time?
Well, a ton of things can change. You know, like I said, football's a game of momentum. They're coming off a huge win themselves. They've been beat up a little bit, but they're scrappy. That team that Coach Warner's got them, they just will not quit. And I think that's when I watch them on film and I look how scrappy they are and they keep coming. And then you got to throw in this rivalry. You know, it don't matter if one of them's 9-1 and the other one's 1-9. It's going to be this type of game. And just because we, won the last one doesn't mean, we don't get any points for that this time, you know. So it's going to be a good game. It's going to be scrappy. It may be a little wet. So all those things factor in, and both teams are going to be ready to play come Friday.
You bring up the fact that you won the last one 2 weeks ago. Going into that game, I'm sure you all used the motivational factor of losing the game to Twin Springs the year prior when you could have locked up the outright district title that time. You're able to go in the Nicholsville and win 2 weeks ago. Now they're the ones that can use some motivation and the fact of that they're trying to get revenge on the loss from 2 weeks prior to that. And then you just throw in the fact of that there's the region a bid to the region title game on the line as well. How much do you make sure your team still has that chip on their shoulder that they had 2 weeks ago they used to their advantage, that they still have it with them now 2 weeks later, now playing at home with already the win over them in the regular season and already on the resume?
Well, we've told our kids, you know, all this distractions, you know, you keep throwing up the regional title game. We've done this all year long. We're a good football team. We do some things good, but we're not that team that can overlook anybody. And certainly once you get in the playoffs and it's 1D playoffs, anybody can win each Friday or Saturday. But, you know, we don't look ahead. We're not distracted by, you know, whoever wins this is going to the title game. We know this is our next task at hand, and we just got to, you know, one game at a time. It's kind of been our motto all year.
You brought up earlier on about the fact if you saw Twin Springs 2 weeks ago that they're scrappy. Keith Thorner's squad is going to fight you for 48 minutes, just like your squad did on Friday night as well against Eastside. No surprise there. That's what this game's going to be like on Friday night. It's what we expect. You bring up also the fact against Eastside that you all got beat up some in the front line there in the first part of the game. What's going to be the biggest keys for you all this time around against Twin Springs on Friday?
really just execute what we've done all year long and be ready to play and don't spend two quarters doing things wrong and trying to make up of it in the second half. I mean, turnover free, it's what we kind of look at. You know, you turn the ball over. These games here are huge, and it can come down to one play or one turnover. So we're just going to try to execute on offense and kind of, get better up front than we were last week, but kind of more or less play like we have all year long. Defensively, they run that Veer offense very well, and we got to play assignment football and fit our spots and fit our gaps and do our assignments, and that's our game plan.
That's head coach of the Rycove Eagles, Garrett Collier, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM against Rycove, hosting Twin Springs, 1 o'clock in the 3-2 matchup in the Region 1D playoffs and the semifinals of the regional playoffs right here on 93.5 WXM. Pregame coverage will start around 12:45 Saturday with Corey Sanchez on the call from the Eagles Nest in Clinchport. Thanks to all four of those coaches for joining us here in this segment. When we come back, we're going to look at the Region 2D semifinals. We'll talk to Jeremy Housewright, head coach at Gate City, Tony Palmer, the head coach at Graham, Jamie Harris, the head coach at Tazewell, and Travis Turner, the head coach at Union. When we return, Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. Again, Corey Sanchez, Zach Hilton will join us coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk some college football. Hit on some of the bigger games from last week. Tennessee getting absolutely trounced by Missouri. We'll also touch on Virginia Tech doing the same thing to Boston College. It may not be surprising Virginia Tech won. I was a little bit surprised by the way they dominated that game against the Eagles and Chestnut Hill. We'll touch on a number of different topics there as well. And, yes, we will update the college football eliminator as well when we come back here talking some college football in the next segment with Corey and Zach. But let's take a look at the Region 2D playoffs here in this segment. And we're going to start off in the game taking place at Mitchell Stadium on Friday night, the only game in Southwest Virginia in this area for us that will be played on Friday night. That's the 3-seed Gate City Blue Devils taking on the 2-seed Graham G-men there at Mitchell Stadium. Gate City's now won their last 5 games. They were 3-3 for their first 6 games of the season. Now they've won their last 5, including a 28-14 win last week over Marion last Thursday night. So they get actually an extra day of rest heading into this game here against the G-men. Now, they are trying to pull the massive upset over Graham. This was the same place they played them at last year. Mitchell Stadium, second round of the playoffs. Final score last year, Graham 61, Gate City 14, as the G-men went on to win a state title. Jeremy Housewright and the Blue Devils look to change that on Friday night and try to pull the upset to keep the season going for the Blue Devils and keep this hot streak rolling to what may be a Mountain District rematch in a region title next week if they're able to do so. It's going to be tough. Jeremy Housewright knows it. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Blue Devils, Jeremy Housewright.
Coach, let's start off there with the game last week against the Hurricanes. You'd seen them already early this year when you beat them 20-7 back in September. This time you take the win 28-14 last Thursday night. That's a team under Jack Ginn in year two for him. They love to run the football. If it was up to them, they wouldn't ever throw the ball. So they wanted to win the time of possession. What was the main things your team was able to do well to pull out the win there against the Scarlet Hurricanes?
You know, after the after their first possession, they took a lot of time off the clock and you know, we were able, their next few possessions, to get off the field pretty quick, and we were able to get a couple touchdowns right before halftime, and then we came out and fortunate enough to score another one. So, you know, our defense held them pretty good there after that first drive, and, you know, I think that was a big part of us getting the W.
And now you try to move ahead here to Graham, and you've all won your last five games. You're sitting there 3-3 not that long ago, midway, a little over midway through the season, following the losses to Union and Tennessee High in back-to-back weeks. You had your bye week there, and you sort of regrouped, and now you've won your last five. You're playing maybe your best football at the right time. What turned the corner for this football team this year?
You know, I think it was the kids after that little rough patch there in the middle of the season. We had our open date, and the kids you know, they decided they weren't going to let that stuff continue to happen. And, you know, they went to work, and they've really, they're the reason why we're where we're at right now.
And you're heading back to the place you saw last year. You went to Graham in the second round a year ago, but lost 61-14 there to the G-men. What did your team learn from being in that game, first time in the playoffs in a few years, and then you get to go up there against a team that went on to win the state championship? Now you return there this year. What did you learn from last year with this team that maybe you can take into this week's matchup?
Yeah, I just, I just hope that the kids, you know, we went up there last year, so I hope it's not going to be a shock to us. I think our kids are pretty level-headed, and they won't let that happen. And we know, I mean, playing them last year, we know what we're up against again this year. So, you know, the kids know what task is in front of them.
Yeah, and now you're taking on a Graham team that's playing their best football at the right time as well. They're coming off a dominated performance for Lehigh last week. They lost some games. They lost to Union early on in the year, I should say. Then they had a couple of injuries where they had some closer games. They're playing their healthiest team right now at the right time of the year for Tony Palmer's squad. When you look at them, what do you see on tape?
I see a very explosive offense. You know, Clements, with all due right, he gets a lot of the headline, and he is one heck of a back. Probably he's one of the best in the state, if not the best. And you know, but he's not their only weapon. They've got some wide receivers that can make a lot of plays, and their quarterback's playing a lot better as the years went on. And you know, up front they're physical, Graham, like they always are, and their defense is flying around. They're good. They're a really, really good football team.
What's gonna be the biggest keys for your team to go up there against Graham and try to pull off the win on the road at Mitchell Stadium?
Yeah, I think that we need to. We don't need to get behind early. I think we need to, you know, come out and try to do what we do and keep it pretty close. We can't spot them 14 or 21 before we start moving the football or before we get any stops. You know, we got to come out with a fast start, and we got to limit our turnovers and limit mistakes, mental mistakes, and you know, we just got to go up there and play with our heart and soul and see what happens.
That's my conversation with the head coach of the Gate City Blue Devils, Jeremy House, right here on 93.5 WAXM. They take on Graham Friday night at 7 o'clock at Mitchell Stadium. So it's Graham hosting Gate City at 7 o'clock. Gate City the 3-seed, Graham the 2-seed. There were no upsets in our area last week in Region 1D and 2D. Chalk all the way around. That means the 4-1 will play in the semifinal on the other side of the bracket in Region 2D. That is Tazewell getting their first playoff win in 15 years. And since 2008, they beat Ridgeview last week 54-18. They make the trip to Big Stone Gap to take on Union on Saturday. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff at Bullet Park in Big Stone Gap. We'll have that game for you over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. If I say something in an interview that may say that it's on Friday night on WAX, or on Saturday on WAXM, I should say, that's because we recorded this interview prior to the schedule change of Rykov and Twin Springs. But it is Saturday, 2 o'clock, pregame 1:45. That will take place over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. So, We spoke to the head coach of the Bulldogs, Jamie Harris, earlier this week. First time Coach Harris been on the show in the last few years. Great to talk to him. And they're a team that's playing really good offense right now. They're 8-3 on the year, coming off a couple of 50-point-plus performances against Lebanon, where they put 58 on the board in the final week of the regular season, then 54 last week against Ridgeview. They know a little bit of a different test against this Union defense that's barely given up 100 points in total the entire season through 11 games. As they head on the road to the Bears, it's only the second time these two teams have faced off. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Bulldogs, Jamie Harris. Coach, let's go back to the Ridgeview game. You all beat the Wolfpack 54-18 this past Saturday in the first round. What was the biggest difference for you all against the Wolfpack in getting that first playoff win in a long while for Tazewell?
I think it was our ability to control the line of scrimmage. We've struggled in the past when we went up against some of the top-tier Mountain 7 teams to be able to hold our own up front. And this week, both on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball, I thought we did a good job and were able to control the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, most of the time when you control the line of scrimmage, you're going to win a football game.
First playoff win since 2008. That's 15 years. How much of that was brought up there to those guys that you not only are trying to take down a Mountain District team, as you said, you've all had some rough times against in recent years, including Ridgeview last year, who you lost to in the first round on the road against the Wolfpack in Dickinson County, but finally get that first playoff win for the first time in 15 years. How much of that was brought up in the lead up to the game with your players?
That was one of our goals heading into the season, was to host a playoff game, home playoff game, and not only host a home playoff game, but to win one. And so I thought our coaching staff and our kids did a great job of staying focused all week on the task at hand and not letting the moment get too big. And we came out and played well, and our crowd was extremely supportive, and it was nice to finally get one of these games at home.
For a lot of our listeners, they may not know a ton about your football team. When I look at the stat sheet, what pops off is Carter Creasy, your junior quarterback, over 3,000 yards passing this year. He's also got 6 rushing touchdowns to go with his 36 passing touchdowns this season. You all are an offense that has sort of been reliant upon that sort of play in recent years. When I look at your stats over the years, as we've seen you a couple times in the playoffs in recent seasons, what about Carter sort of separates him at the quarterback position for you all this season?
We've done a better job of keeping him upright, protecting him. But Carter himself is an excellent student of the game. He's a, you know, he's a junior, but he's a 3-year starter for us. So he started since day one for us. Highly competitive. His accuracy is what stands out the most when you talk to college coaches. And it's just his ability to spread the ball around and take what defenses give him that makes him dangerous.
And you've got an offensive weapons all over the field. Logan McDonald pops off at over 1,100 yards receiving this season. Ziegler's got over 700 total yards when you put his rushing and receiving together. Walker Patterson, Brody Patterson. When I'm looking at your stat sheets this morning, it's just an impressive across the board and look at your offense. What do you hope to be able to do against a Union defense that's not given up barely 100 points this entire season when you travel on the road Saturday with your offense and making sure your weapons are still a big factor there against a strong Bear defense?
I mean, Coach Turner and the entire staff there does a great job, and they're going to make it difficult for us. So for us, we've got to make it difficult for them. We can't become a team that becomes one-dimensional. We got to be able to run the ball and throw it. We got to be able to make them defend sideline to sideline and down the field. So it's going to require a great effort by our offensive line and quick decisions by our skill guys and our quarterback.
For your defense, when you look at Union's offense, that has sort of been looking a little bit different this year. Obviously, a team you all haven't seen in a number of years, as we were talking before we started recording this interview. But they're not as much reliant on the run game, not as much reliant on their power T formations that had grown such a reputation for in recent years for Travis Turner's squad. They've got more speed, not only in the backfield with their quarterback, Rayshon Anderson, but certainly on the outside as well, with a few really good speedy receivers who are pretty young for them moving forward. For your defense, what do you see on film that you're going to have to handle there against the Union offense this weekend?
Their offense poses a lot of difficulties for defenses, and the fact that they can go to a power run game and run the ball right at you, but yet they can spread it out and force you to defend sideline to sideline. Their quarterback is extremely athletic, talented. He throws the ball well. So that's going to, you know, anytime you get an athletic quarterback like that who can run the ball, it just puts extra stress on the defense. And then they've got multiple backs that can carry it. And like you said, the receiving core is dangerous in the fact that they're able to win one-on-one matchups and 50-50 balls. So it's going to be difficult for us, but we're going to come out and play extremely hard and try to dictate to them what they can do.
you faced a couple of mutual opponents together. Obviously, Graham is a team that they faced off in the out-of-district play during the season. You faced a lot of, they faced a few Southwest District teams now. Graham, Richlands, Virginia High. You all have seen Ridgeview most recently. That's a team that they obviously faced off in district play as well. How much do you look at the matchups in those regards of how you all faced up against the Bearcats and the G-Men and the Tornado and the Wolfpack, as well as sort of looking at how Union has faced off against those teams as well throughout the season when you look at your mutual opponents on your schedule?
I think what mutual opponents is a little bit difficult in high school football, where rosters can change, you know, so dramatically in our level if one or two kids are missing. But we did, I mean, recently just saw what they did to Virginia High, and Virginia High was a team that was on the improvement. We caught them more midway in the season, whereas they'd improved a lot when Union caught them, and Union still was able to dominate them up front. And, I mean, Coach Patterson even said in his interview, fastest defense he's ever seen. So I don't know that our matchup with Virginia High and their matchup with Virginia High is the same. And then, now, we both did catch Richlands early in the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a rivalry game for us. And same can be said with the Ridgeview game for them. The Ridgeview game's a big rivalry game for them. So, you know, those emotions play a lot into the fact. So I don't know how much you can really put into common opponents at this level.
When you get set for Saturday and you're talking to your team, what's going to be the biggest keys you're going to point out to your squad that's going to be important for you to pull off the win on the road at Bullitt Park?
We have to be able to limit turnovers, and then we've got to match Union's physicality. And Union is a very physical team, and they are going to come in, and we have got to withstand the emotion in the first, like, 10 to 15 minutes of the game, limit turnovers, and withstand the physicality if we're going to be in this football game.
That's head coach of the Tazewell Bulldogs, Jamie Harris, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. They take on Union at 2 o'clock on Saturday at Bullitt Park. And we talked to the head coach of the Bears once again, Travis Turner. They're coming off a 34-6 win over Virginia High last week, where it feels like maybe they left some points on the board. Defense had one bad drive there, really one bad play to open up the second half when they put in the wide receiver quarterback for the Bearcats, Keyshawn Smith. He went 39 yards to the house for that touchdown. But other than that, though, the defense was dominant once again. Can they be as dominant against a different-looking offense this week in Carter Creasy and Tazewell? We'll have to wait and see. But the Union, getting that first playoff win. Can you believe this? Wait a second here. It was the longest stretch about a playoff win in their program's history before Saturday. They had not won a playoff game since the last time they beat Virginia High. In 2021, back in November 2021, it had been 729 days. That was the longest stretch from playoff win to another playoff win since they won their first playoff game back in 2012 against Graham. That can no longer be said. Hey, we talked about Rykov in the last segment. They had to wait 7,664 days. Tazewell had to wait 15 years for a playoff win. Poor old Union had to wait 729 days, barely 2 years for a playoff win. Take that monkey off their back. They're good to go now. They're ready to roll, and they've got Tazewell coming to town on Saturday afternoon. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner. Coach, let's go back to the Virginia High game here for a moment. And it had been actually 2 years since you won a playoff game, the last time having been against Virginia High. It was the longest stretch in your program's history without a playoff win, 729 days between the Virginia High win in 2021 to the one in 2023 there on Saturday. Mm-hmm. How special is it to finally get that playoff win back over there? 2 years, it seems like a long wait for you all because of how much success you all have had. The team you're taking on this week just got their first playoff win in 15 years in Tazewell. But now to get that first win after a year with no wins in 22, now you can pick up a little momentum. Well, how special was that?
Yeah, it's always good, man. Come out, especially playing at home, get first playoff game, get a win with the home crowd there, and get a win for our seniors, chance to be able to play another week.
And against Virginia High, that was a team that's obviously had a little bit of a tough year down from what they have been the last couple of years under Derek Patterson's squad. How did you feel your team perform there on the offensive side where they were able to move the ball consistently in the first half? I think every drive except for the one they got there up for halftime, you all were in Virginia High territory at some point or another. Weren't able to put points on the board every time, though. How did you feel about your offense against the Bearcats?
I thought offensively we did some good things. We spread the wealth around, got a lot of people involved offensively, and got different formations. And I thought we offensively moved the ball pretty good. I think we got stopped maybe on downs and had a punt earlier in the first quarter. And Keith Chandler had a good punt, pinned them back deep, and our defense come up with a pick on that drive. So I thought offensively we played pretty well.
Now, as you move forward here to take on a Tazewell team that's a little bit of a different looking team than what you've seen here against Virginia High and even maybe even recently, as they like to move the ball around. They have a strong quarterback there in Carter Creasy. He has over 3,100 yards passing this season, 36 touchdowns. He can run as well. I think he's got 6 rushing TDs. They've got a lot of talent on the outside as well. When you look at their offense, what do you see of Jamie Harris's squad?
Tazewell, very explosive offensively. We've got big, long, athletic wide receivers that can catch the football, do a good job of running their routes and their passing concepts. They do a good job. Quarterback does a good job getting the ball to the open receiver and making reads and directing that offense. Man, they're very explosive on offense. I know they're scoring a lot of points.
You have scored at least 50 points the last couple of weeks, including 54 against Ridgeview most recently. Mobile quarterback there in Creasy. When Virginia High made the QB change coming out of the locker room, they just drove down on the first drive and got a touchdown when Keyshawn Smith moved over to quarterback. What's your defense got to be able to do better to key in there on the mobile QB going into the game, knowing what he can do from beginning to end?
Yeah, I mean, they came out in that little Virginia High came out with the Wildcat package that we played pretty good except for one play, and I think they ended up with 39 total yards rushing, and 37 was on that one play, if I'm not mistaken. But we got to stay in our rush lanes. You know, when they're passing, we got to be able to read our keys, and you know, Tazewell throws a lot of screens. Our defensive line's got to be able to redirect, and our linebackers redirect and get to those screen passes, and being able to stay in our rush lanes.
The defense for you all has been spectacular from beginning to end this season, only giving up around 100 points in total through now 11 games on the year. Knowing that Tazewell's used to putting up a lot of points on the board, you bring up your defensive line. How important is going to be pressure in this game compared to sitting back there and playing some coverage as well against this offense?
Yeah, I think getting pressure on the quarterback is going to be key. We can't let him sit back there in the pocket and pick us apart because, you know, he's one of the better quarterbacks we've played this year. He's got those capabilities to dissect the defense and put our defense in some bad situations. So we got to be able to get some pressure on him, get him out of the pocket, and be able to dictate what we want to do on defense.
Another home playoff game for you all. Looks like it should be fairly good weather, which means it'll be better weather than the last time Tazewell came to town in 2014. I don't think it's going to be 14 degrees, Coach.
Yeah, I think that might have been the most miserable game I've been a part of. It was 14 degrees that night. But,
I was in the stands that night. I don't think I've still warmed up from it, actually. It's been nine years. I still haven't. I don't believe I've still warmed up from that one years ago in 2014.
I think that was the coldest game I've been a part of as a coach.
Without a doubt for me that I've ever been to high school-wise, 14 degrees there in 2014. And that was a first-round playoff game. That was early November. It was 14 degrees there against Tazewell. Different time there when it came to the weather. Biggest keys for you all against the Bulldogs this coming Saturday?
The biggest key for us, they're going to put a lot of pressure on our defensive backs. You know, we're going to have to do a good job in our coverage and breaking on the football and making plays. Our playmakers are going to have to make plays. And we're going to have to be able to – our offensive line is going to have to be able to control the game for us up front. You know, if we can do a good job with our offense, keeping their offense off the field.
As head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 to BXM. Union host Tazewell, 2 o'clock on Saturday, pregame 145 over on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, online at WLSDradio.com. I'll be live there from Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap on the call for that one between the Bulldogs and the Bears. Thanks to all the coaches for joining us in this segment and the last one as well. Coming up after the break, let's talk some college football. Tennessee has to rebound quickly because Georgia's coming to town. Georgia's the new number one team. That a right move there by the committee? And hey, Virginia Tech, do your thing. Big win on the road at Boston College over the Eagles up on Chestnut Hill. They powder them like a chestnut. We'll touch on all that when we come back. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
No!
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Guys, Jim Harbaugh said he wasn't going to take it, but now he is going to take it.
Yeah, I think this is the new verse to the Michigan fight song.
Oh, jeez. Hell to the takers. But yeah, he said he was going to fight it, but now he's out of fight. He's not going to fight the suspension. He's going to take it. He's not going to coach these last two regular season games, and then he'll be back for whatever is next after that. We'll talk about that game here in just a moment, what they did at Penn State here. But guys, before we get to all of that in college football, it's time to hand out our Terry Kilgore, the Good Delegate Leadership Award for the week, our Player of the Week. And if it's Terry Kilgore, where does the award almost need to go to? Scott County.
That's right.
And if it's Terry Kilgore's award, is there any better last name for the winner of that award than Kilgore? For a second time this year, we go to the running back from Twin Springs, Colton Kilgore. 22 carries, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 28-21 win over Chohowie in overtime last week. Congratulations to Colton and the Titans on the playoff win, and congratulations, Colton, on our being our Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Leadership Award winner this week to be our Player of the Week as they are moving on in the playoffs, and Colton is our Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Leadership Award winner this week. Congratulations to all of them. And, guys, let's talk some college football. Let's start off with Missouri and Tennessee, Zach. We'll get to the eliminator here in a minute. Cole was the only one to pick the Tigers last week. You made a change to your eliminator last week that said, let's drop Missouri, pick up Tennessee prior to their game against the Vols, following Missouri's loss to Georgia. Missouri then goes out there and stands on business, according to Eli Drinkwitz, against Tennessee. We'll get to that here in a minute. But Missouri, how about those 8-2 Tigers, Zach?
Yeah, let me tell you something. Never have I been more disappointed in Tennessee in my life. I should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
During my notorious military career that didn't last long enough, I was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. Great people there. I should have kept a backbone, and that's on me. That's me. Tennessee, whatever. Yeah, whatever, man.
Whatever is the call there from Zach Helton, and I got to agree. Tennessee was it's the worst performance in the Josh Heupel era, maybe. You can make a case maybe the South Carolina game last year, but I'm not sure the offense showed up in the South Carolina game last year. Not to maybe the level you would expect of that team. The defense didn't show up. Nobody showed up for this one other than maybe the punter for Tennessee on Saturday. That was a very bad showing. Josh Heupel's offense that moves at the speed of light cannot come back. We would think that offense would be made perfect for comebacks. In his career at Tennessee, when trailing by 11 or more points, he's 0-11 now. He's 1-10 when they're trailing at halftime by any score at all. Their only win was against Texas A&M earlier this year. They've lost 5 out of their last 7 road games right now for Tennessee. They got to find some answers. And I'm not quite sure the right medicine for that will be Georgia coming to town this week. Michigan defeats Penn State 24-15. Zach was the only one on the Nittany Lions, Corey. But Sherrone Moore, what's up, man? Offensive coordinator, interim head coach, and all he does is call 30-plus straight run plays for the Wolverines as they take down the Nittany Lions by 9, and they stay undefeated on the road in Happy Valley.
I wish Eric Bieniemy. Yeah,
we'll see. It worked out for him.
I wish Eric Bieniemy would be that bold with the run game, but
and
yeah.
You guys lead the league in passing yards.
Yeah, they're 4-6.
I know. I'm just saying.
I think the play of the game is when they went for it on fourth down. They're in the fourth quarter, and it was still a game. And then right around the next play, Michigan scores a touchdown, kind of puts it. I kind of thought, I probably wouldn't have done that. Yeah. I probably wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and then James Franklin still cannot find a way to win a big
game. He can't. You talk about a guy who throws up. Yeah, y'all made some jokes about some specials and everything, like
Mac Brown specials
and everything like that. I mean, this must be the James Franklin restaurant.
Yeah.
Or the full course.
Everything is served but Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah. Everybody is served. So, gosh.
And he's got one win over Ohio State. That came in the year where they upset him with the blocked field goal. They won the Big Ten in 2016.
Ohio State still
made the playoff. I was not still in high school. Stop that stuff. Come on now. I was a sophomore in college. Give me a break.
Cool kid went to college.
Thank you. I tried.
College boy over here.
I tried. That's
college boy.
That's what I used to be called. I don't know what's missing there at Penn State. They've got the talent. They fire their offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich. We'll see what can happen with them. But Michigan's got Maryland this week, Ohio State next week, both of them at home. Win both of those. You get the Big Ten title game probably against Iowa. And see what happens there for Michigan. Can they make the playoff without Harbaugh? Harbaugh's going to end up missing 6 regular season games. He's going to end up missing half the regular season because he missed the first 3 games due to the NCAA investigation of the recruiting stuff. Now he's going to miss the last 3 games due to the sign-stealing investigation. It's not a pretty picture right now there for him when it comes to the coaching part of it all. And I got to be honest with you. I am so sick and tired of this victimhood that Michigan's trying to play right now.
They're America's team.
They are America's
give
team.
Give me a break.
Yeah, Amazing Gold.
Yeah.
He ain't do nothing wrong.
Give me a break.
He ain't doing nothing wrong.
Amazing Gold.
Yeah.
The yellow
yeah,
gold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the Amazing Blue. Shoot, Lord have mercy.
I sat there and said, what did he just say
to
me?
Yeah, I know. See, he ain't doing anything wrong.
Oh, good.
He got a couple of cameras. He's got a couple of cameras. Smile, you're on camp the camera. That's all we're just trying to do, and you know.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No.
I listen. I don't care that he did it. I personally don't think he should be suspended.
I agree with you.
But don't go on this martyr rant.
Yeah.
Like we should all feel sorry for Michigan. I don't care.
Yeah. there's a.
I saw the comments about how that team fought through adversity or whatever. I almost tossed up my cookies. I mean, my gosh. The adversity because you broke a rule that everybody else knew was a rule. Hey, that's real adversity there. Goodness gracious. It's just, what that's called? That's called Michigan just being Michigan.
You know what? I think this is where I have a problem with college football and everything is the self-righteousness of it all. This is where I say is I'm a pro fan. I know what these dudes are. Uh-huh. I know the product, but don't spit on me and say it's raining. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
don't spit on me and say it's raining. So that's what I'm like. This is self-righteousness. What Harbaugh has done, it's like when they took away these guys' wins when they had these recruiting violations and stuff. Like, I despise Pete Carroll. But what is taking – you look like a 4-year-old when we're going to take your wins away. So are you going to reaward the national champion to the runner-up or something? Oh, we're just not going to have – the wins are vacated, yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Like, spare me. Take me to take me to the bowling alley, knock down 9 and spare me.
Give Reggie Bush's Heisman back.
Yes.
And they didn't give it to Vince Young just because they took it away.
SMU, they should be, they need to be vindicated.
There you go, Eric Dickerson and Craig Jones. We're talking about somebody who can be self-righteous with you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But Michigan does move on. And again, similar to a few other things in life, You didn't need to. That's a darn good football team. You know what you didn't need to do? You didn't need to cheat. Because, hey, you know, like a certain president, you know, about 50 years ago, hey, you were going to win anyways, pal. You didn't need to cheat. You're good over here, okay? Michigan didn't need to cheat. That's a darn good football team. They didn't need the other stuff to try to become better. That roster is really good as it is right now. And does anybody actually think that Ohio State's the better team? Not Ohio really State's got the better resume. No. But when you watch them right now, I don't see how you can think Ohio State's the better team than Michigan with the way they've played this year. Georgia rose over Ole Miss, 52-17. Zach, Georgia's number one now once again. Is that rightfully so?
I think so, until you take them down. They're number one.
Well, I was okay with Ohio State being number one because I thought their resume was better. I thought they had the two best tandem of wins in the country, Penn State and on the road at Notre Dame. But now as you look at the rankings, I think Georgia may have the case for that now. Now, they're both home wins, but now they have back-to-back wins over number 9 Missouri and number 13 Ole Miss, and they beat Ole Miss by 35. I think there's a case maybe Georgia now has the two best wins in the country in that regard. I already made my case last week for Texas as the best one-loss team. I'm not going to go through it all over again, but Georgia number one, I think that's rightfully so, and it came at the right time. A lot of people were pushing for it last week. I thought we needed to wait a week. They got it the right time this time around. Virginia Tech rolls over Boston College 48-22. Cole and Zach picked Virginia Tech, and Zach went away from bowl eligibility. You got NC State and Virginia left.
Yeah, well, Corey, you know, mentioned it last week. They only got to win one. They won Boston College. Now you go to Charlottesville in front of the Zima crowd, and
be nice.
I like this matchup this week. I think NC State at home Saturday afternoon, Senior Day. Going to be a nice day. Weather looks good. Corey Moore is going to get honored.
Nice.
It's shaping up to be a nice day in Blacksburg.
Very good. Very good. As they get the win there for Boston College, the 48-22, and they got some hype around them again. Been a while there for the Hokies. They got a little bit of excitement around that program. Alabama rolls over Kentucky 49-21. Alabama's looking like something familiar to me. Maybe a little bit like
Alabama.
number 19, LSU, 52-35. Guys, can I go ahead and make the case for Jaden Daniels for the Heisman Trophy? I know they got three losses. I know they have three losses. I didn't buy into him coming into the year. I remember too much from what I've seen from previous years at Arizona State and last year at LSU. I think he may be the best player in the country. And I think this is like an RG3 at Baylor, Lamar Jackson at Louisville kind of thing, where I know their team's not the best team, but I think they have the best player. If I was a voter, I'm not a voter. I've already been talking to a couple of different voters this week trying to make my case for him because I always try to promote my guy who I think should have his case there in that point. Last year I was fighting for Max Duggan, didn't win my battle. This year I'm going to fight like crazy for Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels should be the Heisman Trophy winner. I know Bo Nix is up there. I know Michael Penix Jr. is undefeated. I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is having a great year.
He won't be after this week.
I think I'm leaning Jaden Daniels. I watched that game the other night and I go, didn't he just get knocked out against Alabama last week? Oh, yeah, he did. Dallas Turner almost decapitated him. Didn't matter. What a performance against Florida. I understand it's Florida, all that stuff. Give me Jaden Daniels for the Heisman, Zach.
Can we make a rule, though, for Heisman candidates? They cannot have played at more than two schools.
No more than two.
No more than two.
Okay. All right.
I think that's reasonable.
I think that's reasonable.
That's fine. I mean, you know, you look at it because maybe some places have programs that that these guys can't play in. They've got extra eligibility and everything. I mean, we've seen that at different levels.
Recent years.
We've seen that at different levels.
We've had a lot of guys who've done the two schools thing. Baker did two schools. Kyler did two schools. Burrow did two schools. Caleb Williams last year's on his second school.
But no three, four schools.
No three or four schools.
But
I'm
what
okay
if they got the we're building young men, guys. I get that they may go to the next level, but if they don't have a program that's offered for them at their certain university, then you need to go to another one and they can play.
I hear
that's
you.
That's why I'm saying two. That's why I'm
three.
Saying
wait,
two.
But what if they're dynamic and they went to they're at the third one?
Listen, that Heisman Trophy is heavy. You can't be moving it around the country like
that.
Yeah,
you can. Oh, God, yeah, you can. Oh. Yes,
Carson Palmer keeps his in his garage. I think there for a time, remember, he said to Dan Patrick, he let Dan Patrick have it in his man cave there for a while.
They lost it.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
they lost it.
And if you remember, they also are the ones who had the report about Reggie Bush not knowing where his Heisman Trophy was at the time either. So
yeah, he probably didn't know. He didn't know where it was because they were coming to take it from him.
Something about those USC Heisman trophies. North Carolina beats Duke 47-45, double OT. We all have the Tar Heels. Oregon survives USC in the second half, 36-27. Washington beats Utah 35-28. I'll say it again. I think Oregon may be the better team there, but I may take Texas over all of them. Western Carolina blows out ETSU 58-7. I'm just waiting for an email. Everybody takes the Catamounts there. Yeah, yeah. Dance it up, Cullowee. You got it. Lenoir Rhyne, SAC champions, 48-7 over Tusculum. Them and Limestone going to the playoffs, Corey. Wingate to beat UVA Wise 27-0. We'll get that one in a minute. But Lenoir Rhyne and Limestone, who beat Emory Henry 47-29, they're going to the D2 playoffs. Our buddy Joe Reich left at home.
Yeah. And he's now transitioned fully over to the athletic director.
He's leaving football coach.
Yeah. They promoted one of the assistant coaches. I saw that the other day.
You know what? Sometimes if somebody's really good, let them do two jobs. If you can do two jobs, let them do three.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Heisman rule. You know, you can't be – that job can be heavy and can't take three different spots.
I got you. Tommy Osborne, Barry Alvarez come to mind, obviously.
Yeah.
Different times, I understand. Hey, if he wants, though, he can give away the head coaching duties, but in the middle of the season, he can take him right back if he wants. His brother's doing something similar at the moment with the play calling duties with the
Panthers. He's taking it back from Thomas Brown.
Yes, he
did.
Yes, he is.
What is that going to do for anything?
Frank started the year. So Thomas, they're all yours. Thomas, you're doing a terrible job. Wow. Give him back. I'll take him. Speaking of coaching changes, Wingate defeats UVA Wise 27-0. After the game, it was announced Dane Dameron steps down as head coach of the Cavaliers. Following 8 years, back-to-back really tough years, 2-9. But Dane, longtime guest on this show for many years. We've had him on numerous times over the years, including the beginning of this year. We've all known Dane a while, right. But the Cavaliers are going in a separate direction, and sometimes, it's just time for a change. And I think this is certainly one of those times where it's time for probably a different voice in that program. Wingate, though, beats UVA-wise 27-0. Last week, Cole, perfect in college football. Are you kidding me? Cole Johnson, 13 out of 13. We all went 11 out of 13. It wasn't like we were some chopped liver there, but, boy, he made us look like it. 13
Thanks,
out of
Tennessee.
13 for Cole. Tennessee was a miss for all of us. Zach also missed on Penn State. Corey, you and I missed on Virginia Tech. We picked Boston College to beat the Hokies. Was our only miss there in that one. Standings in college, I have 86, Corey and Zach 81. Guys, time for the Eliminator. Corey, all your teams won last week. Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, and Louisville survived Virginia. My teams, not quite the same case. Georgia, they won. Penn State, though, they lost. Texas, their winner, chicken dinner, but Ole Miss, not so much. They pick up loss number two as well. And Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, undefeated all around, but Tennessee picks up loss number three. Corey, we'll start off with you, sir. Any changes for you, sir, right now in your eliminator?
I don't think it would benefit me to change anything right now.
You don't have, you're not.
Yeah, it don't benefit me to change. No, sir.
I don't disagree.
We're talking too much about college, though, boys.
I got to make the next move here. I'm going to drop Ole Miss. I'm going to go Oregon State.
There you go. That's a good pick. I'm going to
go Oregon State. So Ole Miss is off the board for me. My team now, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, Oregon State. Zach, you going to make a move there of Tennessee?
Yeah. Tennessee's gone. Let's see. I'm a little shocked that you're throwing away Ole Miss so quickly.
You got two losses now. And there's two lost teams ahead of them in the rankings, so I think you're going to win this weekend. That's why I go over.
I think they controlled their own destiny, though.
Who, Ole Miss? Or you mean Oregon State?
Yeah, you know what? Listen, there's no other better choices, to be honest with you. And I love Lane Kiffin. Like, if I could call Lane Kiffin to adopt me, I would. I'm going to pick up Ole Miss.
All right. He's going to take the Rebels
there. Another man's trash is another man's treasure.
That's fine.
It's just junk still.
Yeah, you can just have them there. you know, they've got to decide what they want to do there with Lane because of the fact of the matter is that you just don't know where the direction is of that because, again, similar to James Franklin, he's got issues in big games. And he said after the game they got to get better players. That's fine, coach. Who's recruiting them? Also, he's rumored for Texas A&M. At some point, if you're Ole Miss, don't you just say, oh, great, we're done with this. We're done. Yeah. Because every year it's going to turn into, you need a contract extension or I'm not leaving. Last year was Auburn. The year before that it was another job. Is this going to be just every year of him? Because if so, at some point,
right,
the door's over there. Corey, Tennessee is on the board. You want him? I have to ask. Yeah. I have to come back around because I'm going to make another move. So I have to come back around to you before I make my move. I'm going to drop Penn State. I'm going to pick up Missouri.
The Tigres.
Well, they're the highest ranked team still on the board. They're number 9 on the board, and they've got Florida and Arkansas left. They're not going to make the playoff, but I think they're going to still have a fairly high ranking.
Playoff?
Yeah, there we go. So my team now, Georgia, Texas, Oregon State, Missouri. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, Ole Miss. Any more moves for you, sir?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I'm done as well, unless you want Penn State, Corey.
Why would I want that?
I have to ask.
Why would I want that?
It's the rules. Corey's team, Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, Louisville. My team, Georgia, Texas, Oregon State, Missouri. Zach's team, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Ole Miss. Let's pick some games with Warren Bradford of WCYB. When we return, Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my Food City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. We're wrapping up a Pigskin Picks edition here on a Thursday night on 93.5 WAXM. Here, Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Hillner with you as always on a Thursday night. It's time to pick some games, fellas. We're heading into the second round of the playoffs in Virginia, third round in Tennessee. We're down to the penultimate week of the regular season in college football. A lot to get to here as we take a look at our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings. And boy, our buddy Alan Greger was in danger last week. Boy, I tell you, Alan's still sitting at the top of the board. He wanted to say hi to you guys. I spoke to him this morning.
I bet you did.
He wanted to say hi to you guys. Cool Corey and Z-Dog is what he called you two. But Alan Greger is still in first place at 92.3%. Cole Johnson from WCYB, 91.7%. They both only missed two games. Sadly for Cole, though, he picked two less games than Alan did. We got him at the bad time of year. They're at the playoffs. There's less games. Even got less games this week. So Cole, though, still finishes in second place. They're 0.6 points behind Alan. Tim Hayes is in third. Pat Kenny's in fourth. The WCYB runs begins there at fifth at James Colley, Casey Getz, voice of the UVA Wise Cavaliers, Steve Kern, a loyal WCYB watcher. Number 8, Heather Williams from WCYB. Andrew McClung from WCYB is in ninth place. J.H. Hill's got 10 and 11 locked up with Nick Dugan and Kenny Hawkins. And still our buddy, Cookie, Tanner Cook, rounding out the list there at number 12. And our Eastern Credit Union – yes, go ahead, Zach. I'm sorry.
Cookie. I just said Cookie.
Oh, Cookie. Hey, we saw him last week. I tell you what, he's still riled up. I don't know if it was over that or something else, but he was screaming at me.
Yeah, like, I mean, he could have gave us some FCC violation before we even went on air.
I almost had to put the window back in. But that's okay. We are going to be joined by our Eastman Credit Union guest picker of the night. That's back to the WCYB well. Another one of their newcomers in her first year there this year, first high school football season, Lauren Bradford. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Yep, doing great. Can't wait to go through these games that we've got.
Yeah, it should be some good ones there in Virginia and Tennessee. We'll pick some college games as well coming up here, including her alma mater, Clemson. Just wait for that one when we get to that one here in a few moments. But let's start it off with the Citadel and ETSU. This is a real clash of the Titans. My alma mater trying to find a third win of the season before maybe they part ways with their head coach, George Quarles. They get a good opportunity against the winless Citadel Bulldogs. They're 0-10. It's a 1 o'clock kick on senior day at William B. Green Jr. Stadium in Johnson City. Lauren, who do you like in this one, the Citadel or ETSU?
You know, I am going to go with ETSU. I think that it gave me a little bit of trouble here because both teams have played some close games and have also played some games where they haven't been too close. But the Citadel lost to Wofford, and I was at that Wofford-ETSU game, and I think if you lost to Wofford, then that says something. And then senior Stephen Scott on Monday said that the seniors really want to get this end to finish things out right, and I think they'll be able to.
I'm not sure on this one, Corey, if the game's going to decide a ton when it comes to job security, but it may decide on the length of job security, if you get what I mean here. Because if you lose to 0-10 Citadel, it may be a quicker pull than you think in just a couple of days. Who do you like in this one, though, in Johnson City?
Well, it's going to be a hot one for George Quarles, isn't it? I think he does get the win with the landlocked Buccaneers.
That's ETSU for Lauren and Corey. How about you, Zach?
Well, fun fact, back in August, the Citadel had a opening for their radio broadcast voice.
Yeah.
I interviewed for that, and obviously I didn't get it. Must have been someone on the message board who interviewed me. I don't know. Those folks don't like me anyway. So, Corey and I are brothers. We're pretty petty together.
We are.
And I'm going to take my petty out right here, and I'm going to go landlocked Buccaneers for a squeaker.
Corey, on the message board, who do you think has a higher approval rate, me or Zach, though?
Probably Zach.
I still think it's Zach.
Hey, are you winning? Are you winning the days, boys? That's all.
So.
How many days have you won?
Yeah. I'm going to take ETSU at home as well. I'm going to say my alma mater gets a third win of the season, second SoCon win. Hey, let's head to Harrisonburg. Appalachian State 6-4. James Madison's undefeated, Corey. They're getting the Attorney General involved up there. It's getting interesting in Harrisonburg. They're trying to find their way into the postseason. Right now, they're not going to be able to play in a conference championship game, let alone a bowl game, even though they're undefeated due to the NCAA's antiquated rules. Who do you like, though, in this one?
You think? You know, we had the Attorney General on here a couple years ago.
Yeah, you have.
Maybe we get Chuck involved up there, too, with it. But with that being said, I think these boys are going to go in here laser-focused, and they are going to beat Appalachian State here. Give me the Dukes.
I'll say this, Zach. When I interviewed Jason Meyers, the Attorney General, he was doing like a weekly or a monthly interview here on the station. I think that was the last time he was on. So take that for whatever it's worth on how that interview went.
Did he Jamie Chadwell you too?
No, Jamie at least joined me twice. Zach, who do you like in this one between Appalachian State and James Madison?
Well, if you'd like to talk to the AG, I got a connection in the AG office.
He
in
does.
Richmond. I could probably pull some strings. One of the great things about James Madison is they don't get offended when we call them Jimmy Madison. I really like that about them. I'm going to go James Madison home. Game day's going to be there. It's going to be a great atmosphere. James Madison at home. Jimmy Madison, if you're close friends with him.
Or Jimbo, if you know you go way back with him.
Jimbo, yeah.
James Madison home. Second time college game day is going to be there. Lauren, they won the last time they were there. Did they make it 2-0?
I think that they do. I think college game day, that's a great atmosphere. I've been to a few college game days, and, I mean, when you have all of that momentum behind you with all the fans coming out, and I think that the NCAA ruling is going to put a little extra fire, so I think that this one is going to – I think they're going to come away big here.
Kurt Cignetti's a heck of a football coach. I think they keep it rolling. Sean Clark's turned the wheel around here to App State. They were 3-4 not long ago. They won their last three. but it stops right there. Give me James Madison home to move to 11-0. Let's head to the SEC. Kentucky travels to South Carolina, 7:30 on the SEC Network. Shane Beamer needs some wins, Zach. They got Kentucky and Clemson to round out the year here, trying to get to bowl eligibility for a third straight season for the Gamecocks. Can he do so at home at Williams-Brice against the Wildcats?
Yes, he can. I still love Shane Beamer. He's still my second favorite Beamer. And I think he gets bowl eligible with this win at home.
Lauren, I know how much respect and admiration you'd have for South Carolina as a Clemson grad. Are you going to pick him here at home against the Wildcats?
Vegas gives the Wildcats the nod, and I'm going to agree with them. I can't take South Carolina. They haven't really shown me anything exciting this year, so I think Kentucky heads into Williams-Brice and walks out with a win.
And they're already at the bowl eligibility with the win last week there for Mark Stoops and the Wildcats. They're looking for win number 7. They are favored by a point and a hook there in Columbia. Corey, as Lauren said, we're split so far. Which side are you on?
Jacob, you know what I'm saying here. I'm looking at – are they 4-6 or 5-5?
Oh, they're 4-6. I'm sorry.
4-6. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what happens when I'm tied up.
That's an excuse. We'll do it live.
Sorry.
We'll do it live. Either way.
Right now,
as you know, I like to go contrarian on these things. Kentucky is getting hammered right now by the public. 74%. But the Sharps, they're looking at South Carolina.
The Sharpies.
Yeah. I don't think they win by a point. But give me the Gamecocks because I need to catch up with you guys. Give me Shane Beamer and the Cocks to take down the Grocery Boys.
Yeah, Kroger Fields.
And they'll be the superior school in South Carolina.
Well, they'll decide that next week.
Oh, wow.
But we'll also pick Clemson here later on. That's a little bit of shots fired. South Carolina needing 2 wins to get to bowl eligibility. Thank you there, Corey. I'd say Kentucky. Give me Kentucky. Give me Mark Stoops over Shane Beamer. Stoops has been quite honest of his dislike of Beamer. I think he's going to let his team take it out on him on Saturday. This is not Vanderbilt that Shane Beamer is going up against, nor is it Jacksonville State, who his 2 latest wins are over. Give me Kentucky on the road.
Wait a second. When do we start caring what Mark Stoops thinks?
Well, I don't until he's sort of backing up an opinion that I have.
Oh.
Thank you. That's sort of the way I look at it. Hey, let me say this. Didn't the message boards come after me now? I had the wrong records on a college football game. Stop talking about college football, Jacob.
Yeah, sorry. I'm typing that in right now. Thank you.
3 o'clock on the CW, Lauren. Let's head over there. That's one of your all stations there at WCYB that you all have ownership over in the Tri-Cities. They're getting the Cavaliers, a wonderful story, but only still 2 wins on the year there for Tony Elliott and Virginia. They host Duke at 3 o'clock in Charlottesville. Blue Devils or Cavaliers for you?
You know, I think the ACC really is anyone's game every week, and we saw that last week with both teams hanging with some of the top dogs in the ACC. But I covered Grayson Loftus last year as a senior in high school, Duke's third string, who's now running the show. And I think that he wins the true freshman battle here, and I'm going to give it to Duke here.
He was impressive last week, I thought, against North Carolina and really helped them out there getting the win over Wake Forest the week prior to that, even with the loss to Carolina last week. That's Duke on the road for Lauren. Corey, Virginia seems familiar to your job title. Are you going to go with sort of a business pick here? Are you going to do an Eli Drinkwitz? You going to stand on business?
We used to be Kendrick Spears, Jacob. Yeah. you know what? It's not payday this week, so I'm going to go with Duke in this one.
We'll check back in with you next week.
Yeah.
there on the holidays. See, maybe get a holiday bonus when they play Virginia Tech.
Gobble.
Zach, who do you like in this one? I think I already know.
Well, so I was thinking about this. I didn't quite put it together because I don't put things together a lot. The
Me
CW
either.
And the CYB are in partnership together, right, Lauren?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Have you got to meet the frog, the mascot of the CW?
Jesus.
That thing's pretty talented. I really think it could beat UVA by itself. I'm going to go Duke on the road.
I have no clue what's
that
going
was
on.
Like
the frog? The frog's old. Is the frog at CW still there? I haven't seen the frog on CW in a while now. They haven't been running One Tree Hill recently,
yeah,
so I've been a
go.
Big fan of
there
watching the channel.
Where's Cannon Hill?
That's delicate for you, Zach. I know. I understand. The Carolinas right now are very delicate for you.
Man.
The Citadel and One Tree Hill.
Gavin McGraw still collecting off of that too, man.
I don't want to be. You know that. I'll take Duke at home. Give me the Blue Devil. I mean, Duke on the road. I beg your pardon. Give me Duke on the road. Let's head to Blacksburg, 330 ACC Network. I'm going to go over to Zach on this one. Virginia Tech blowing out Boston College last week, partner. Now they get to host the Wolfpack in North Carolina State. And Vegas says Hokies favored by a field goal, Zach. I know where you're going. You're riding high on Brent Pry and the Hokies right now.
I love Brent Pry. Let me tell you something. I'm excited about this Saturday for many reasons. This will be the first Tech game I've been to in a few years.
Oh,
wonderful.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to get to go. I'm going to eat some Benny's Pizza. I'm going to get some heartburn. I'm going to drink some adult Kool-Aid. And Virginia Tech's going to win this ball game. It's going to be a big day in Blacksburg. Eligible for the first time since the Reagan era, I think. I can't remember.
Maybe a little bit of an exaggeration okay. A little bit of an exaggeration. Corey?
Well, you know, in the capital of meaningless bowls, Virginia Tech, you know, they get up for these games where they, ooh, we can get bowl eligible. With that being said, I do think the Chokies don't choke it up. I think they win, and they get ready to go to the 7-Eleven gas station bowl in probably Beaumont,
right,
Mississippi.
Now, you know me. I love my bowl games. Yes. I've already been looking at my bowl projections. Mm-hmm. I have been since September. There's a lot of them that say maybe keep an eye on Virginia Tech, Tennessee, maybe in Jacksonville, maybe in Charlotte. Just saying, keep an eye out there for maybe that matchup.
Tech, Tennessee, and Charlotte would be bananas.
Now, I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think Tennessee is going to make it clear they don't want to go to Nashville or Charlotte because they've already played Nashville this year. They played Virginia the opening year. They open the year next year in Charlotte. So they're going to try their best to make sure they don't have to.
But not there in Las Vegas where nobody will go.
Any of those. I don't think so. Well, that's a little bit too much for that's a little bit too rich for our taste there, Corey. Lauren, who do you like in this one, Wolfpack or Hokies in Blacksburg?
Well, you know, my dad's actually a Virginia Tech alum, so I think he would disown me if I picked against them regardless. But I've seen the Hokies at home, and they've impressed. And I think if they get started early, then they can lock up a bowl appearance here.
There we go.
Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech at home for everybody. Zach's all excited right now. I'll take Virginia Tech at home as well. The minus three number's interesting. North Carolina State, 7-3.
Yeah, some you could sink your teeth into.
There is favored by 3 points at home. I'll take the Hokies. Hey, it's a pick 'em. Down a Hard Rock, Corey. Louisville, Miami. You know Louisville's ranked number 10 in the country. Yet, it's a pick 'em in Coral Gables there against the Hurricanes. Noon, ABC. Miami coming off the loss to Florida State. They're not even sure who their quarterback is. Emory Williams got hurt bad there at the end of the game. Tyler Van Dyke's not totally healthy. But yet, a pick 'em between the Cardinals and the Hurricanes. It's a pick 'em.
You smell it? You smell it, don't you?
Who do you pick?
You smell it, don't you?
Well, I smell a lot of things.
Do you smell this?
I think it's more than just that picture in front of
it's me. It's the eggplant. They probably smell about the same way. Yeah. But I really, they're my eliminator. I don't feel good about this, but I'm going to take the Cardinals.
That's Louisville there for Corey. Lauren, who do you like in this one between the Cardinals and the Hurricanes?
I think the Hurricanes are licking their wounds after back-to-back losses, and I think Louisville comes in and takes them down with ease.
Ooh, with ease is the calling shot there by Lauren Bradford. Zach, everybody's on Louisville so far. You were heartbroken when Corey took them in the eliminator last week. You're still riding with the Cardinals after their blowout wins over Virginia Tech a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I lost about three nights of sleep over that.
Wow.
I'm still trying to get back. You know why this game's a pick 'em, though?
Tell me.
Louisville's not used to playing in half-empty stadiums. Oh. This place is a joke.
There you go.
Miami is a joke. Louisville. Big, like Lauren said.
Wow, Louisville big for everybody. Jeff Brohm loses weird games.
I didn't say
Jeff
big.
Jeff Brohm loses.
I didn't say big. I said
Louisville.
I said Louisville, but I felt dirty.
Let me clear up myself here.
There you go.
Louisville big for Zach and Lauren. Zach says Louisville slightly.
You're taking
Zach,
Miami.
Corey, sorry.
All right, no,
I'm taking Miami at home. Yeah, I am. Yeah. I don't know who their quarterback is. I don't care. Jeff Brohm loses games like this, and I like Jeff Brohm, but his history at Purdue was beating top five teams and then losing to Purdue, or losing to Minnesota. It'd be tough to lose to Purdue when you're the coach of Purdue. He loses to Minnesota. He loses to a Rutgers sometimes. Heck, Farr lost to an Illinois every once in a while.
Almost lost to UVA.
Lost. And he almost lost to UVA last week. Good call, Corey.
Yeah.
Y'all were hating on UVA last week, just saying. I'll take Miami at home. Hey, it's North Carolina. It's at Clemson, 3:30 ESPN. North Carolina's now ranked number 20 in the country, although they barely snuck by Duke in double OT last week, Lauren. Clemson, we're trying to buy some stock, but right now I think Tyler from Spartanburg is carrying all of it under his baggage right now at the stock market. I'm trying to find some. I'm calling everybody I can right now with my stockholders. Dabo says Tyler from Spartanburg's carrying all of it. Where are you at here on this one between the Tigers and the Tar Heels?
You know, I don't know if you've ever been in Death Valley, but the Tigers don't really lose at home. I watched them lose once in 4 years, and that's still a sore subject. But they bounced back, and they won in the ACC championship against UNC last year, and I think that with how things are finally starting to fall into place for the Tigers, they come back, and it's going to be a repeat with the Clemson's, with Tigers taking the win.
Clemson for Lauren. Zach, where you at on this one in between Tar Heels and Tigers?
Listen, 3:30 kick, I think about 8 o'clock Saturday night, the Esso Club is going to be hopping. Clemson gets the win over UNC.
Yeah, Lauren, you asked if we'd ever been in Death Valley.
Oh,
have
yeah.
been to a game?
No,
We have all frequented the Esso Club.
Yes, we have.
I've been to a game. I knew I had.
You've been to a game? Yeah, see, we almost went to one.
Well, we almost went to the stadium that time.
Yeah, that's another story for another time. But we almost went to the Wake Forest game a couple years ago, but they moved the kickoff time up to noon. That messed with us. We thought it was maybe a night game.
That was around. That was about 3 years ago this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder.
There's a picture surfacing around the internet with me with less gray hair on a sideline with a microphone at Death Valley.
Wow.
During a Clemson-Boston College game about 9 years ago, 10 years ago maybe.
Wow. Is that Todd Boyd days there in Clemson? Todd Boyd?
Yeah. I didn't even have any gray hair, so you can tell.
It's before he met me. I will take Clemson at home, Corey. Where are you at in this one?
Huh. You know, we've been in a bar down there before, excuse me, the Esso Club, when somebody cursed the name of Brian Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins.
Dabo Sweeney, Trevor Lawrence, you know, I don't know who that guy was.
Me either.
Very familiar. And then, you know, it's more of my type in this type of game. But at the end of the day, I'm going to respect the transfer portal. And I'm going to go with Dabo Sweeney.
All right. You're going to go Clemson. Everybody's on Clemson. Interesting there for the Tigers.
You're going
to
North Carolina.
No, I like Clemson home. You know, I've been on Clemson all year. I've never hopped off the wagon. Don't look at me, Dabo. I kept telling everybody, believe. Don't look at me, Dabo. I've always been on the wagon. With you guys. We're all over the Clemson bus. All right, let's pick up the pace on a few picks over in the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Kansas State travels to Kansas. Court's a top 25 matchup, 7 o'clock, FS1. Wildcats or Jayhawks?
Rock chalk.
That'd be Kansas for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go Jayhawks as well.
That would be Kansas for Corey and Zach. Lauren?
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to take Kansas State in this one.
Kansas State for Lauren. I'm going to go out there on the limb with her. Kansas State favored by 8 in Lawrence? Yes, please. Give me Chris Klieman and the Wildcats. Utah, Arizona. It's a top 25 matchup. My goodness, Zach Helton. What's going on in Tucson? Yet the game is going to be hard to find. 2:30 Pac-12 Network. Utah Wildcats.
Yeah, you got to have like 4 different subscriptions to German TV to find this one on your television. I read a story the other day. Arizona's university's falling apart. They're running out of money. Whatever. Utah, though, on the road, I think goes in and gets the win and maybe sells them a washing machine or two on the way out.
I believe the story with the Pac-12 Network was years ago. Remember those TVs they first started selling that you could watch TV on them?
Uh-huh.
That was where the Pac-12 Network had their biggest TV deal with, was on those TVs. And that's not on those TVs. That's not a joke. That's an actual serious story.
What?
I'm not kidding you. That's a serious story.
On those TVs, you can watch TV?
Yes. On the refrigerators, you can watch TV on.
Remember a few years ago when they put
Samsung.
You remember a few years ago when they put that terrible YouTube album on everybody's iPhone?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like this.
You're trying to find the ice maker, and all of a sudden you just find a Cal-Stanford volleyball match.
That was
you
too. That was like you too.
Corey, who do you like here between the Utes and the Cats?
Well, does Arizona have enough to – will the gate make enough for them to cover that $240 million deficit?
Maybe
I have no.
Against Arizona State.
We'll see.
What sound was that?
I'm trying to. It's my thinking.
I said quick.
Yeah, give me Utah.
Utah on the road for Corey and Zach. It's everybody's on the Ute so far. Lauren, are you on the team from Salt Lake City or Tucson?
I'm breaking the mold again, and I'm going with Arizona. Utah has not played well in ranked games this year.
No, they have not, and they're on the road. Give me Arizona as well. I love what Jed Fish is doing. Keep an eye on Jed Fish, not only for maybe some bigger college jobs. Keep an eye on him for some NFL jobs as well. That's where a lot of his background's at. Give me Jed Fish and Arizona at home. I'll take the one-point favorites as the home team. It's the battle between the home jerseys being played at the Coliseum, UCLA and USC. 3:30 ABC. Lauren, who do you like in this one here between the Bruins and the Trojans?
Now, the rumors are already swirling about Chip Kelly getting the boot, but I think that UCLA actually pulls this one out.
Their defense has been strong this year. At one time, they were the best in the country statistically, Zach. Is that going to be enough for them to knock off Caleb Williams? And maybe, who knows, bring him the tears.
No, USC and Smog wins this one. I think Chip Kelly wants to get out of L.A. I think his quality of life will be a lot better once he leaves that place.
We'll see what maybe could end up for him somewhere else. May not even be in coaching. Maybe back in the television. Did a nice job at ESPN last time around. Who are you liking this one, Corey? We're split so far.
Yeah, I'm just going to – I hope Caleb Williams, his mom is on the sideline just in case she throws a pick. Give her a hug. Maybe she'll make you some sandwiches or coffee or something. Just go with USC.
USC at home. I'm going to take USC at home as well. I thought Chip Kelly's job was in danger before the rumors started coming out. I still think he's probably in some trouble there. Maybe the most of any coach in the Pac-12. Give me USC at home. I think they get win number 8. Washington, Oregon State, number 5 versus number 11. Let's head to Corvallis. Game day is not, but we will here, Corey. Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler, at least Herbie, at least has to get from Harrisonburg, Virginia Saturday morning to Corvallis, Oregon Saturday night. He's got to use that private plane to the best of his ability to get there in time for this one. Huskies or Beavers?
You know what? I think it's an upset. Give me the Beavers.
Our friends in Vegas would say that is not an upset. Oregon State's actually favored by 2.5 in this one, Lauren. Who do you like here between the top 5 Huskies and a sneaky Oregon State team who's still trying to figure out what's next for them in conference realignment?
I'd say I know a thing or two about the Beavers quarterback. But I'm going to give this one to Washington.
Yeah, DJ Uiagalelei there, the former Clemson quarterback. Done okay at Oregon State, but that completion percentage still looks fairly familiar to what we saw in Clemson over the last few years, although his record's certainly better at Oregon State. Zach, who do you like in this one here between the Huskies and the Beavers?
Well, the Huskies have been my ride-or-die team all year, so, I am sticking with UW on the road.
We haven't had a ton of chaos this year. It's time for some chaos, gosh darn it. It's the next to last week in November. Give me Oregon State at home. We've got to start messing some stuff up. I'll take the Beavers there or in Corvallis. Maybe their last big win over one of those other teams there in the Big 12. The Pac-12 before everybody goes to either the Big 10 or the Big 12, I should say. Georgia travels to Tennessee. Zach, let's head to Knoxville here, my friend. They're looking to bounce back. They've got some rude medicine coming to the town. A 27-game regular season winning streak, the 2-time defending national champs, and they're back to being number 1. That's Georgia, 3:30 CBS. Last time the SEC on CBS will be at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville. How's it go there between the Bulldogs and the Vols, Zach?
Well, Tennessee made me say a lot of cuss words last week, and you guys know me. I don't cuss that much unless I'm off the air. Georgia goes in. Go Dogs. Go Kirby Smart.
Go Dogs. Go Kirby Smart, says Zach Helton. Corey, where are you at on this one between Georgia and Tennessee?
Yeah, Mama ain't raised no fool. Go Dogs.
That's Georgia for Corey and Zach. Lauren, you're going to go with the upset here with not quite the hometown team for your market, but certainly the one that carries the day.
Yeah, probably going to upset some people. I definitely understand sticking by your team. I've done it quite a bit this year, but even Dolly Parton and Rocky Top can't save the Volunteers from the Dogs.
No, you know me. I love my Tennessee Vols, but give me Georgia minus the 10, and if you gave me a few other points, I'd probably take Georgia in those points as well.
Are you sick?
No, I don't see any way Tennessee keeps this a ball game. They have no receivers right now, and if you don't have receivers in Josh Heupel's offense, what do you really have? I don't know. I'll take Georgia on the road to move to 11-0. The win streak keeps rolling there for Kirby and the Dogs. Some college football news. Yeah.
You've never seen Hank or Bobby Hill and Josh Heupel in the same room together.
It's true. He got a point.
Let's see how Eli Drinkwitz would handle Bobby Hill at the moment, because, boy, Eli Drinkwitz had a fun time the other day. I'll say this as well. We just got some news, guys. Jim Harbaugh says, I'll take the 3-game suspension. I'm done. We're done fighting. He's going to take the suspension. No Harbaugh for the Ohio State game just announced.
You know what he's
not even
do?
Go to court
he's
tomorrow.
He's going to get a TV gig. He's going to go get a TV gig.
There you go. Maybe, you know, Fox has already said they'd love to get him on the air during the Maryland game this coming week, and then they'll also have him for the Ohio State game. Who knows? Maybe Jenny Taft or Gus Johnson can talk to him there during the game, maybe even Joel Klatt. Let's have the TSSAA third-round playoffs here. Class 2 will start off with you, Zach. York Institute's undefeated. They travel to take on a friends up the road in Carter County at Hampton. Can Hampton keep this season alive for Michael Lunsford and the Bulldogs?
You know, I like that they've got the home field advantage. That's going to be kind of an equalizer. But any school in any high school, for that matter, with the word institute in it, I got to give them the upper hand because that's a hard word to say sometimes. I'm going to go York Institute.
Very good. Lauren, who do you like in this one?
I think York Institute's probably the better team in this matchup. But if there's anything to take away from last week, it's to never count those Bulldogs out. So I think Hampton pulls this one out in the end.
Carter County's went up into our buddy Cole Johnson last week. He only missed two games. He picked Bledsoe County to beat Hampton. They lost by 5. He picked Elizabethan to beat Anderson County. They lost by 14. He was perfect on everything else. Lauren says, no, we're good with Carter County. Let's go Hampton here, Corey. We're split so far. Where are you at?
He should have just listened and enjoyed the theme song and he would have picked it. But I'm kind of with Zach in this one. Why I'm surprised that there's an Institute West Virginia because you know. Anyway, I'm going to go with York Institute.
Long time no see.
Is York Institute the school that they played hockey at in the third Mighty Ducks movie? Was that it?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get our research team on that here in a few moments before we wrap up the show tonight.
I can hear people on the message board typing right now.
yeah, I can too. I can too. York Institute on the road for me. Class 4, Anderson County travels to Greenville. It's Region 2's number one seed to just beat Elizabeth and Lauren. Anderson County, the defending state champions, playing their best football at the right time of year. But Greenville's undefeated at 10-0. Who do you like in this one here between the Mavericks and the Green Devils?
I've been with Greenville the past 2 weeks. I'll be back again this week. And they've looked untouchable in the first two rounds. I know that this is going to be a tough task here, but I think after how they ended their season last year, they're ready for revenge, and I think they get it.
She's taking Eddie Spradlin and the Green Devils. Corey, how about you?
Yeah. No Golden Girls restaurant this week.
Maybe they pack it with them, though. Bring it with you. Bring the meal with you. The Golden Girls restaurant's just terrific down there in Clinton, Tennessee.
It's just not as good to go.
Well, you know what? To be honest, I've never had it to go. That's fair. Totally fair. I've only sat down in there and ate. I'll have to try that someday.
Thank you for being a friend.
That's what I try to be. Zach, who do you like in this one?
You know what? I think this is a better draw for Greenville for the sheer fact that another opportunity with Betsy, that's essentially a rivalry game anymore. And, you know, those are a flip of the coin. I think Greenville at home takes care of business and gets revenge, like Lauren said, over Anderson County.
I agree. I like Greenville at home as well there over Anderson County. Anderson County's run comes to an end there against the Green Devils. This may just be finally their year there under Eddie Spradlin. Head of Virginia, Region 1D, Saturday, 1 o'clock, the 4-versus-1 matchup. Patrick Henry and Honaker. Corey, they faced off just a few weeks ago. Tigers won it by 8. Do they do it again against the Rebels?
Yeah, let's go with Todd Tiller and the boys.
That's Honaker there for Corey. Zach, who do you like in this one over in the Hoagie Higgie rematch?
Well, I tell you, I was at the Honaker game last week, and they were reeling a little bit at halftime. They were down, and I think that's kind of the jolt they needed. Obviously, a loss is going to end your season, but I think getting shook up a little bit, Royal Retreat put them on notice, and I think they're going to be more focused this week. I think they get Patrick Henry by 2 scores.
I told Todd Tiller when I spoke to him this week, I said, I bet you're happy not to see Royal Retreat anymore. Back-to-back weeks and both battles against the Indians. They get Patrick Henry this time. Lauren, you all had it on your all's game of the week on Friday Night Rivals a few weeks ago. But this time, playoff matchup on the line. Patrick Henry looking for the upset. Can they find it on the road against the Tigers?
I think that, like you said earlier, it's a bit of a wake-up call for Honaker with how they played last week, and I think that they come back, bounce back, and take care of business again.
Everybody on Honaker. Seth Padgett, all he does is make it to the region title game. Maybe not this year, though. I'm going to go Honaker, too. But, boy, I tell you what, that was a preseason, a lot of people's Region D pick in the title game. That may be the game there. Second-round game this year. I think Honaker's able to get by him, though. Give me Honaker at home with that offense for the Tigers. Zach, Twin Springs travels to Rye Cove. This is only the second time in East School's history they're going to play each other in the playoffs. as the Titans make it back in there. This is their first road playoff game under Keith Warner. This is their fifth playoff game under him. First time they've had to go on the road. It's like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs right now, Corey, as they're finally having to leave Arrowhead or at least Titan Stadium in this regard there for the Twin Springs Titans. But they make a short trip Saturday, 1 o'clock. Corey will have the call over on 93.5 to BX some Saturday afternoon. But, Zach, who wins Scott County Super Bowl Part 2 after Rye Cove took the first one?
Well, Saturday I had the pleasure of being home, a rare Saturday at home, so I got to partake in a few of these games on the NFHS network. Let me tell you something. Those cameras are tremendous. If you've ever tried to watch the Zapruder film from 100 yards away, then you kind of get what you get with the NFHS cameras. So kudos to those guys. The Twin Springs Titans almost gave that away. I thought Chill Howie was going to win it, but Twin Springs battled back. This is kind of what we were alluding to a little earlier with Elizabeth and Greenville. This is a rivalry game. This is almost a flip of the coin, but I think the War Eagles, I think their story continues. I think they get this one at home.
It's worth every penny there, buddy. And I tell you, Twin yes. Springs had a tough battle against Joe Howie, Corey. We saw Rye Cove absolutely have to claw and fight yeah. everything they had against the Spartans the other night. You better get there early, my friend. They're already telling people they're going to be out there helping people park the cars.
I'll be there at 9 a.m.
They're going to be ready to roll Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon there at the Eagles Nest in Clinchport. Who do you like, Titans or Eagles in the rematch?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to tell you this right now. Do not, if you're coming down, do not take the left at the McDonald's. Do not.
No, take the left at McDonald's. Don't just take keep the, driving. Yeah, just keep driving.
Just don't take the left.
You not to.
Yeah, that's a long story. Between you, me, and the UPS truck in one-way road and a truck behind me. Lord have mercy. With that being said, that place was, for lack of a better phrase, raucous.
Yeah.
And they spoil it, though, because they won't be able to use their LED lights in the middle of the day. But I think Rye Cove gets it right. I think it'll be closer than it was last time. But unfortunately, I will refuse to say their name because of NFC East affiliations. But go Rye Cove.
Rye Cove for the win for Corey and Zach. Lauren, who do you like in this battle of Scott County in the playoffs?
I think we're going to go 3-for-3 here. I like the passion from both of these fan bases, and I think that this one will be close, but I think it'll come down to who's at home this time, and that's Rye Cove.
You all know how much respect I have for Keith Warner. That's my guy.
You're going to
Twin Springs.
You're going Titans.
Everybody's going to Rye Cove.
You're going Titans.
Everybody? No, I told you 2 weeks ago when I picked Rye Cove. I thought they were the better team. I still think that's the case. They weren't great last week when we saw them, but I still think their defense is better than anything maybe in the entire region, other than maybe Honecker's offense. That defense for Rye Cove is special. B.I. Salyers is a special coach on that side of the ball for them. I'm going to go Rye Cove at home. But, boy, I don't feel great about all the RCs on the sheet right now. This is more RCs than a vending machine for RC Cola. Region 2D, Gate City travels to Graham. This is Friday night here on this matchup between the Blue Devils and the G-Men. Lauren, who do you like at Mitchell Stadium in Bluefield as Graham's trying to make it back to try to get a rematch of Union next week in the region title game?
Yeah, I think they've got that fire under them wanting to get back to that rematch game, and I just don't think that Gate City has quite enough firepower to hang with them for the full four quarters. I'm going to give this one to Graham.
Zach, any chance for Gate City? They played this game last year in the second round as well. Graham won 61-14. Any chance for Gate City this time around?
Yeah, there's some great guys in Gate City, great guys. I got friends on the staff at Gate City, but as long as Tydress Clemens is healthy, Graham is definitely the favorite. I go Graham. Graham's D is, I think, better this year than they were last year. I'll be honest with you, I do. And I think it's going to be a tough one to take them out.
Corey, you live in Gate City, sir.
I do.
Everybody's going Graham. How about you?
I live in Gate City. I also live in reality.
Oh, jeez.
So it just...
I was trying, man.
You can't out-hustle a hustler.
I got you. Zach, Rob, Tydress, Clements, my stat sheets have not ever recovered from last year's region title game.
How long was it? It was about a 45-minute first quarter.
Oh, my gosh. My arm's not recovered from that game where he scored 8 touchdowns against Ridgeview. But, you know, the D special. Let's go Taz. I like Graham at home. Tazzle travels to Union Saturday, 2 o'clock on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. I'll have the call from Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap. I'm looking forward to this one. Tazzle can score, Zach. Can they score enough, though, against Union to make this a game?
It'll be a game. Unfortunately, I wish Union could beat Tazewell by 100 points, but that won't happen. I do think it'll be a game, but I do think Union gets it late. I think they come up with a nice defensive stand late. I do like this matchup, though. Union is Union's defensive backfield's going to get tested Saturday.
Yeah, Carter Creasy can throw the ball. We'll see how Union's secondary is able to contain him in that passing game this Saturday against the Bulldogs. Lauren, who do you like at Bullet Park?
I'm taking Union in Bullet Park. I don't think that they lose this matchup. I think you set up the Graham Union rematch and really let them duke it out next week.
Yeah, that was going to be pretty fun, I think so. Corey, Tazewell, Union, who do you like?
Let's go Bears. Let's go with your Bears, Jacob.
No, not my Bears, but your Bears. Union there for them.
Your Bears.
They've only played one other time. I was there. I was talking to Travis Turner about it earlier this week.
Did your Bears win?
I was a senior in high school. They did win.
Your Bears.
2014, coldest I've ever been in my entire life. 14 degrees on a Friday night, the first Friday in November in 2014. It was 14 degrees in Big Stone Gap that night. Never been colder in my entire life. Travis Turner says it's the coldest game he's ever coached in. And Jamie Harris, I brought it up to him. He said he's still got some staff members that were on the staff at that time. It's the first game they bring up when they talk about cold games is that night. Not going to be the case Saturday afternoon at Big Stone Gap. Either way, though, same result. Give me Union at home. That's the game over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, Saturday, 2 o'clock. I'll have the call there, pregame 145 from Bullet Park there in Big Stone Gap. Corey will have the call from Rye Cove, Saturday, 1 o'clock, pregame 1245, right here on 93.5 WAXM. Our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, Lauren Brad from WCYB. Lauren, thanks so much. Good luck on the pick. Safe travels this weekend, covering the football all over the area.
Thank you. It was great. I went out on a limb here for a couple of those. I hope it pays off for me.
Well, hopefully so. You're almost going to have to go perfect to get by Allen and Cole up there on the top. So hopefully can go your way there for you and your at least your Clemson Tigers in that regard, since we all went Clemson as well on Saturday against the Tar Heels. Zach, Corey, we'll do it all again next week. A Thanksgiving edition of Pigskin Picks next Thursday night.
Gobble, gobble.
What else do you want? What else would you want on a Thanksgiving night? 49ers, Seahawks, Corey, the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Pigskin Picks.
One more thing. It's another game.
No, it could be Thanksgiving night. I'm talking about nighttime.
I mean, midday Thanksgiving.
I understand. Your Commanders play the Cowboys at 4 o'clock.
There could be divorce papers on the table, on the Thanksgiving table, depending on how that game goes.
We talked about Dolly being at the Tennessee-Georgia game. She's going to be at that game, too. Halftime show of the Cowboys-Commanders game. Dolly Parton.
Come and watch it on the Warpath on YouTube with me.
There you go, right there.
Tremendous note. We are a great outlet to get away from your family on Thanksgiving.
We are.
That's actually the only reason we do this show, is to get away from our own. So there you go.
Yeah.
So it is a Pigskin Pick special next Thursday night right there on Thanksgiving. Join us. We'd love to have you with us. We're certainly going to talk plenty of playoff football in both Virginia and Tennessee, Kentucky. College football heading into the final week of the season. We're going to touch on everything as we continue into the next week. So for Corey Sanchez, Zach Hilton, I'm Jacob Townsend. We'll talk to you next time. Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.